This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call him the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, and Paul are here. Eric, I assume, is still out in Santa Clara. And
has he been filing updates?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't read the website? You don't go to Patriots.com?
He did send a Pulse
send
story.
His paper stuff.
Oh, good. Paper. Great. So he's doing something out there.
He is.
Or Eric was very good on Patriots playbook yesterday.
Was
no
he?
No chance.
He called in, then he spoke with some of the players and Coach Belichick, then he called back afterwards.
Well, that's great.
That may be all factual, but he wasn't good.
All right. Well, we're here until 2 o'clock taking your emails and phone calls and eating Qdoba food. Andy has a couple burritos in front of him. Paul has a couple burritos in front of him. And we're going to be doing the question of the day week today. So at some point. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And guys, right off the bat, I guess the news came out kind of somber, sobering news about Matt Castle's dad. I guess he was found dead in his place of residence. So it was a sudden thing. I don't think anyone expected it. He was only 57 years old. So as far as Matt's, status for the game, it's unclear at this point. Where'd you get that Diet Pepsi, Paul?
In there. It's warm.
Oh. Sensitive Fred Kirsch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think it's obviously ideal for Matt, and he'll have to deal with it whatever way is best for him and his family. And obviously the team expressed their sympathies yesterday. Belichick talked about how difficult it was for him a couple of years back when he lost his dad. But he's going to be away from the team for a little while, like we talked about yesterday, and hopefully – if he decides to play or if he plans on playing, he'll be able to get enough preparation time in to play in the game.
Yeah. I kind of think he will play. But
I do too.
I mean, everyone – this is a personal thing, and everyone deals with this in a different way. But after you make the arrangements, there isn't much else to do.
Right.
you can sit around and mourn and grieve, and if people – that's the way they want to deal with it, they can. Or you can get back and – start getting on with things. And
but it's not just him. It's family
members.
No,
I understand that.
And if his mother wants him to be with her, I mean,
I understand.
There's a lot of factors at play.
I'm just guessing, considering the circumstances and the fact that they were divorced and he was living apart anyway. I'm not sure that people are going to need him necessarily. So.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's going to play. But as I said yesterday, I think that's what the world assumes. And I think it's unfair and it puts you in a
– sure.
A terrible, terrible position at a terrible, terrible point.
Whatever
in your
his
life.
Decision is, it'll be the right one. Whatever he decides to do will be the right decision.
I'm not sure it'll play that way. I think if he decided not to go, I think he'll be criticized by some people.
Well, that's unfair.
And I think people just assume. I think people just assume he's going to play.
You just don't know.
I agree with Fred. Yeah. I think whatever decision he makes would be the right one.
For him.
Because that's what
But it won't
for
be
him.
Treated that way. Right. Because 95% of the world would said, well, I would play. That's what his dad would want. That's
and
what
that's
do.
Fine for you.
Right.
Right.
But he'll be criticized.
Yeah, that's.
Or even if it's behind closed doors, maybe not openly criticized, some people will say, oh, I should have played.
That's the problem with this world is everyone thinks they know what is right for everyone else.
100%. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought any less of anybody. You know, Brett Favre had the whole thing with his dad on that Monday night. I never thought any less of Brett Favre for that. But personally, I don't think I could do that. I don't think, you know, in the same week that my father passed away, I was, you know, I'm very close with my father. I don't think I could go out and play a football game.
And you'd have a lot of real estate things you'd have to take care of, a lot of, you know.
What do you think? My father's Andy Hart? He's
taking
like a
over
land
Pop
baron?
Warner. You got all those leagues to think about.
He's
that
got
you
a
run.
Lot of stuff.
What does he got?
That would have to be transferred
what's
over.
What's he
to
got?
You.
What's he got? Am I going to be rich someday? What do
yeah,
you
of
what does my father
you.
Have
all
that I don't
land
know
in
about?
Florida.
He has a house in Florida. He doesn't have a lot of land in Florida.
The land in Everett.
It certainly doesn't have a lot of land in
yeah,
Everett.
Yeah, but the square footage in Everett, each square foot is like, you know, a lot of money. All of Pop Warner, you'd have to take over.
Yeah, you're mistakenly under the assumption that that is a for-profit business that my father runs.
Well, he owns it, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you the heir to the Pop Warner?
I couldn't
Warner
tell
throne?
You how much we're in the red over my father's involvement over the last 30 years in Pop Warner.
He's the Pop Warner prince.
Prince. He's the prince of Pop Warner. I know he's the prince of pomposity.
Who, Paul?
That's yeah. Eric.
Oh. I thought it was Brian Morey.
I stand corrected.
A throne that was passed down from Brian on this show to Eric?
I stand corrected.
The line of...
anyway, we wish...
I do want to ask, though, I want to ask
okay.
Paul.
Yes.
You know, he just said he wouldn't want to play, probably wouldn't play, whatever. But would you feel even more pressure beyond the normal pressures because of the time? Matt Cassel's only season to start here. They have to win out to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's going to be a free agent. His entire life could be aided if he makes a playoff push here, the contract bigger, everything. His opportunity's greater. So there are some tangible
it's
factors.
Absolutely
at play.
Everything. Simi Morris kind of broached that topic a little bit today. One of the quotes you said, especially what we're dealing with football wise. You know, kind of, you know, it's one.
You
thing
know, this
it,
is last. If this is a 13-2 season and they're playing out, who cares? But for him personally and as a team, there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of other factors at play here.
No, I agree. Like I said, I think Fred put it perfectly. I think whatever he decides is the right decision because it's really such a personal,
right.
personal choice.
But even he'll have his own doubts, I would think. Either
yeah,
way,
for me,
like, should I have done it? Okay. Say they go out and blow the Raiders out. He plays. They blow him out 56-2. And he goes, man, my mom was a little upset that I played. They could have beat him without me. Maybe I shouldn't have. Or say he sits home
and
they
blow him out 56-2.
Well,
does he lose anything?
That. Or they lose. I mean, there's so many scenarios that he might go,
I
should have done this, I should have done that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand your question. I think it's a fair one. I don't think it matters all that much for his future. I think that he has established himself at a certain level, whatever that level may be, and I don't think that him playing or not playing on Sunday is going to really affect that.
But in theory,
I think it's a fair question.
If he makes the playoffs, he could win a Super Bowl. And if he wins a Super Bowl as a first-time starter ever, he's going to be more valuable.
Understood. I'm just my point being is I think he's established himself that he can play. He can play in the NFL. He could be a starting quarterback, and someone's going to probably sign him next year to do so, regardless of whether he take now. Could he if they went on a magical run here and won the last four games of the regular season and then went into the playoffs and kept that going, a la 2001? Absolutely, he could make more than he would make today. There's no doubt, but. I think that I don't think he's necessarily sacrificing a lot of money by not playing.
No, because the chances of that happening are slim. But
yeah, I don't think.
Plus, I think he's got a pretty high level. You know, I read something. John Mallory writes the business column for us, the Sports Business. He talked to Pat Kerwin. I'm not sure if you saw this page yet today, Andy, but Pat Kerwin just kind of weighs in on a bunch of different topics. You know, kind of business related topics because that's what Pat did when he was with the Jets. He was a salary cap guy and whatnot and. About Cassel, he said, you know, he had before when he threw for his first 400-yard game, he had pretty much been looked at a level. And then the first 400-yard game, people started talking about Matt Schaub, you know, the 40-some-odd million six-year deal. And then when he threw the second 400-yard game, all of a sudden it became like Aaron Rodgers. It was like 6-65. So I'm not sure how much more than that he could make if he won the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if he's looked at that level... If Pat's right, I mean, what is it going to be, like an $80 million contract? I'm not sure
no,
how much
but
more is out
outside
there.
Opportunities, you become a star
absolutely.
More than just a starting
absolutely.
Quarterback,
sure.
star, all of it.
His star can rise. He's MVP of the Super Bowl. Obviously, well, that's going to be, you know. But I don't think he'd have to be screw up a lot to have it go down from where it is.
No, now. I know. I'm just saying the dreamlike season would be a possibility if he plays, if he doesn't play. You know, I just think it's such a tough spot. To make a decision beyond the emotional and the loss, it's a tough spot and a tough decision for him to make. Unless he's the guy who says, I'm just going to play because my dad would want me to play, and that's how we were, whatever. And there were some interesting stories today talking about sort of the life lessons that the father taught them. I think they went horseback riding from wherever they lived out into the – and about working hard. And at the time, the quotes were about Matt becoming – getting his chance. But, you know, maybe some of those lessons come into play here and the messages the father taught him at a young age, and maybe they somehow play into the decision.
No, I mean – I think he'll play, but again, who knows? Who knows? But anyway, everyone wishes him the best. And two gender. I know John from South Carolina is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hello.
What's up, John?
This is James.
Oh, James
from North Carolina.
Jimmy,
nice job, two gender.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna blame Fred here.
James, okay. What's going on?
Oh, I thought I'd just call you up. Everybody was questioning how the Patriots. Chances are, if they win out, whether they can make the playoffs or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked it out, and they can't tie anybody in the division, otherwise they lose the tiebreakers.
Right,
right.
And when it comes to the wild card, same thing. They can't tie anybody because they lose the tiebreakers.
That's why they need so much help. That's certainly what we've been talking about the last couple of days, but. You know, the help is kind of there. It's not like it would need to be these stunning games to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, Baltimore has a very difficult schedule playing Pittsburgh and then at Dallas. And I think if the Patriots were to be able to take care of their own business, I think there's a reasonable chance that Baltimore could lose both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think they will, but I think the chances is there that it could happen.
The chances is there.
Yeah,
and then certainly the way the Jets and Miami have played all year.
Who knows?
You can't pencil any game in as a win for those teams.
Y'all talking about if they lose a game, there's still a chance at the division title? Because they lose any chance at a wild card. They have to get the division title then. And the only way they can do that, if they lose their game against Arizona, the Dolphins lose their game against Kansas City, and then beat the New York Jets. That's the only way they could get
if the Patriots. If the Patriots lose
one game, they still have a chance.
Don't think so.
Not if what happened is the Dolphins would have to lose to Kansas City and then beat Jets. Then they come down to they would work it down to the common games.
And wouldn't that be even?
No, the Jets would lose out on that.
No, the Dolphins would be even with the Patriots.
Yeah, it'd be even, and the Jets would lose out.
And the Dolphins would win the division, right?
No, then they will go down to strength of victory.
No, I think it would go to conference games, and I think the Dolphins have a better conference.
No, they wouldn't. If they lost to Kansas City, they would be even then. That's the only way to work out.
I don't think that's right, but okay.
So then they would come down to strength of victory, so you can't figure that out to the end of the season.
True.
Okay.
Bottom line is they need to win games.
They need to win
games. They need help.
And then hope they have a better record than everybody else.
Right. Win games and ask for help. Not exactly the position you want to be in with three games to go.
See, I know a lot of people are looking at Baltimore's schedule, but I'm not pinning my hopes on Baltimore. I'm pinning my hopes on the Jets and Miami losing two games because, you know, Baltimore, I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh because they've got a really good defense. You know, Pittsburgh is not like they're throwing up a lot of points. I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh, and I think they're going to beat Dallas in the state that Dallas is in right now.
Well, they're a good team. That's why they're in this position. But the question is, who plays the tougher opponent? And then you factor in they have a first-year rookie quarterback. They have a first-year coach. I just think those are the factors that make them a more likely candidate to stumble. Whereas Paul's right, the Dolphins and the Jets, I mean, one week they're the Jets are Super Bowl champs and it's get ready for Giants-Jets. The next week they're losing at San Francisco. So counting on them to do anything is
yeah, the ideal situation would be to have the Jets and Dolphins have the Ravens schedule.
Right.
Because then you can just pencil in losses.
Right.
And one more thing before I go. My sympathies go out to Matt Castle and his family for this untimely death of the dad.
Certainly. Thanks,
all
James.
Okay, y'all have a good day.
You
bye.
Too.
All right. That's Jimmy from North Carolina.
One of our oldest and most loyal listeners.
It's Scott Zolak from, you know, Zoe Knows, and it's time for the Qdoba question of the week.
Hey, all right. It's 12:16, and actually,
which
it's 12:17 right now, and we are going to do the question. Do we have someone on the line, Dan?
No, they can't call.
They can't call
until we announce it.
It's not.
We announced it yesterday.
What, we have to
call
the
early
question.
Two gender hangs
no,
up on
No, we never say the question before.
Hey, numbnut.
We have to wait till someone calls.
That's why I said, do we have someone on the line?
How are we 2 months into this and Fred doesn't understand how the damn
All I said
works.
Was, do we have someone on the line?
No. Okay. Second of all, we have one line and it was just James.
Anyway, James goes all the way back to Walpole Park. All right,
so call. Call.
Yes, call.
For the chance to win the 20-person Qdoba buffet of the week.
It's good stuff. We just had a good sampling.
I love how Fred does it different every time. It cracks me up.
Not on purpose.
Well, a lot of times it's on purpose.
I'd like a water, Dan. Are there waters out
no.
there? Could I get a
he's
water?
He's crazy no like a fox, Fred. No. You underestimate him. As he's all snazzed up today in his breakfast attire.
Well, he had to go to a craft breakfast. You didn't spill anything on yourself, did you, while you're having breakfast with important people?
No.
Oh, you look pretty
Where was the breakfast, Freddie?
At the Charles Hotel in Cambridge.
Wow. That's quite fancy.
Good stuff.
I noticed that you buttoned your shirt all the way up for that.
We just had
breakfast.
To meet somebody there, that's all. It wasn't really a breakfast. We had breakfast, but it wasn't a breakfast.
We had breakfast.
You know how
it wasn't
you have those
breakfast.
Breakfast meetings? This wasn't like that. It was just we
I
met.
Love her. I'm just not in love with her.
Did you get a Diet Pepsi? Well, now he's on the phone right now.
Because you've been yelling, call. So call. Yeah, call.
No, that's good. So we're going to get into what Eric's been reporting. Do we know? Thank you. I got my Diet Pepsi.
He's walking around with the phone. What
do we have a caller on the line, Dan?
Well, why
no.
the phone?
No,
like?
who was on the phone? They can't.
You
be...
answered it. How do you not know who it was?
The person hung up.
Did you get call waiting while you're on there? Because if you're on the phone, then it's busy and people can't call in for the Qdoba question of the day.
He doesn't know that soundbite, so we won't hear it.
All right. Hey, you learn. What else is going on?
First try.
Guys, what have we learned from Santa Clara?
The injury situations.
Yeah, I mean,
long list.
But even then, I don't think really we've learned much with that because the guys were either out or limited again.
I don't think we learned much from that until Sunday when I see who's on the field and who isn't.
Well, at least on Friday you get those designations too. Right. But like Ty Warren was limited. Vince Wilfork was limited.
But at least he was there.
I thought that you said that right on Tuesday. With the fact that they were still with the team led you to believe that at least there was a chance.
Right.
So I was not surprised to see them out there and at least on the field. Obviously, Brewski's not there. So
any more news on Brewski?
I haven't seen any today.
Just no. Bill openly said he's not going to practice, but I think people assume that when he wasn't there. I mean, I guess he could have flown in late or whatever. Yep. But
could have had video practices going on here at Gillette.
Sure.
Oh, he looks good. He looks good.
And he's not returning Junior Seau's text messages, so I don't know what you want to read into that.
Well, on the phone right
not
now,
surprised.
we have Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? I'm actually listening live.
Nice.
Oh. Are you calling? Yeah. Are you calling for the Qdoba question?
Yes, I am. I said, you know what? I'm at home because it's pouring out, and I don't feel like working, so I figured I'd answer the question of the week.
Well, that was yesterday, Anthony. You were supposed to call in.
What do you mean?
He's just screwing with you.
Well, I know. Hey, just to throw it out there, too, anybody wants to buy you guys lunch next week, they can. I've decided to buy you presents instead.
Whoa.
So.
I like presents.
I feel embarrassed when people buy us things.
I'm a fan.
I tried to get it there for today, but I don't think it worked out. So it's going to be there on Tuesday, and it's going to be Attention to Paul Perillo.
Nice.
Oh, all right. Now I'm interested.
Good.
All
Gary,
yeah, well,
Gary can't steal
them. I didn't want to send it to two gender because I figured he'd mess it up.
No, he'd steal them like Gary used
well,
to.
Really,
people send us all kinds of stuff, and it goes right to the Gradecki
house. Nova Scotian beer.
The place to go is Fred. You send it to Fred, and then he... Well,
he steals, too. Those jelly beans, they went right to him.
Fred steals,
that wasn't
remember
for the show,
Tequila?
Yeah, he steals.
Those were
well,
said not because of the show.
Presence in there, so I figured you guys would divvy it up.
You're the best. You really are.
All right,
that's too kind of you.
Which right, means you're going to win this, just so you know.
Dan, do you have the question ready?
Oh, Andy's got
the question. Okay, you ready, Anthony?
What's the team in New England? The Patriots.
Okay,
that'll be our follow-up.
Okay.
Where did we eat dinner on Saturday night in Seattle where they were holding a little rally of Patriots fans?
Oh, God. Uh-oh. You know, I can't even answer. I can't even begin.
What type of bird goes, whoo, whoo?
An owl.
Yes. And what's a sharp thing?
The owl's nest, maybe? I don't know.
The sharp thing you step on in the forest would be called a...
What?
Rhymes with whistle.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Rhymes with whistle and starts with a th.
What What are you talking? I feel embarrassed now. What are you talking about?
The Owland.
The Owl and
TH rhymes with whistle. TH at the beginning.
Thistle, the Owl and Thistle.
Yay! Well done,
we're still
Anthony.
Undefeated. No one's ever missed.
Anthony tried hard, though.
Right now, there's somebody like trying to dial, going, "What the? I knew it."
Now here's the question, though, Anthony.
To anybody out there?
Are you you're going to be coming back for this, or what? Are we setting this up in Florida?
A trip up there.
Well, you'll enjoy it when you come up because it is a good. We just had a good sampling of it. It's a good buffet.
Good food. Good time.
You don't have a digestive problem, do you?
Who, me? No, I love Mexican food.
Oh,
I can't get enough of it. I'm in the perfect place in Florida where there's Mexican restaurants everywhere. So
okay, good. All right.
So all you have to do is stay on the line, and Dan will hook you up.
He doesn't. Just have him send in an email.
It never works. We always get emails from somebody who says, I don't know what to do.
Dan, that's not my fault. That's Qdoba's fault.
Dan, why can't you just please him?
Placate him. Placate take the him. Call. Write it
take
down.
Take the call. Pretend
I'll
you're
take
doing
the call.
Something.
Hey, you don't need to call. You don't need to stay on the line, though.
You haven't learned.
Gender, but if he gives attitude, take it away from
I
him.
Agree. No presents for
You've
two gender.
The
you lose.
Right on
we'll
the
give,
line.
It, we'll give it to his sister instead.
Get his information.
Yeah, I'd like to give it to his sister.
See, that's why I'm the straight guy. I set him up.
Right.
All right, Anthony.
Anthony,
thank you very
calling.
Much in advance for whatever we get next Tuesday.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Anthony from Naples,
I'll give
Florida.
You next Tuesday.
All right. You got him? I see him. He's taking his info. That's
well great. Done, Dan.
No, he's shaking his head and saying, no, just send me an email.
All right.
He just can't get good help anymore.
No.
He insists on doing it his way.
Right. And his way ends up with us not getting buffalo tenders and cinnamon sticks.
Right. Still waiting for those from yesterday.
Greasy hair dripping
into
his
Paul,
ears.
Now, Paul, you were on the big show last night.
That is correct, Fred.
And did they talk any football?
We talked a little football, Probably about half and half.
Yeah.
Started off a lot of baseball with CC Sabathia.
Right.
And then it went to football for like the last, I'd say, hour and a half.
Now, what?
Oh, you were a fat left-handed pitcher. What did you talk about CC Sabathia?
I can hear that moronic laugh
through
the glass.
Double-paned glass.
What was the big issue that you had to correct them on?
Why do you put it like that?
Because that's the way they're wrong.
Well,
and you
I don't know.
Them.
I don't know how much you listen, Fred, but do you know? I know Andy does. Steve in Fall River. Are you aware of that, man?
No.
Stephen Fall River is one of the most
chips and salsa.
Unbelievably just pessimistic, worst fan ever. And evidently, he's a club seat holder here at Gillette Stadium. So he's an enormous Patriots fan, but he is gloom and doom all the way. It's never good enough. Every guy they lose, it's the end of the world. Well, he calls in yesterday and he says that, starts off with this pearl. They've put too much stock in their defensive line. They've invested too much in the defensive line. It's overrated. To which, obviously, we all attack him. And he's talking about the defensive line, the starting defensive lines that they won Super Bowls with. Bobby Hamilton, Anthony Pleasant, and Richard Seymour in 2001. Okay, I said, so you give me 2001, a team overall that if you looked at on paper, you would say, that's not even a playoff team, never mind a Super Bowl team. And you count that as your example, you know, completely ignoring the 03 version with Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, and Ted Washington, and the 04 version with Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, and Vince Wilfork. And he says, no, it's over it. And then they get into, he starts talking about tight ends and how they've wasted all this on tight ends and blah, 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 to which I think there was an element that I agreed with. And some of the other guys, Glenn actually agreed with that as well, Watson and Graham. You know, we're okay players, but not really worthy of first-round picks. You thought you were going to get a lot more out of them. And then some callers started calling in saying, well, there are no good tight ends in football, to which we all disagreed with them and rattled off several, you know, pretty solid tight ends. Guys like, you know, I mean, not just like Gonzalez and Gates, but Jason Witten, Todd Heap, Chris Cooley, Dallas Clark, and that's
or
what
just
you,
the young guys in recent weeks, but, Carlson and Miller.
But and then you—that's what you must have heard me because you said because you know that I don't think Dallas Clark is a great tight end. But I mean to compare him to Benjamin
Fraud
Watson,
through. Dallas Clark.
But that was like the eighth guy on my list. He's telling me there's no tight ends, and he says, "Well, what's Dallas Clark done this year?" I said, "Well, what's Ben Watson done in his career that Dallas Clark hasn't done?" And you know, like it was to the point where even Pete was sort of agreeing.
Right.
So you kind of knew
I
that
kind
you had
of,
a.
I kind of agree with the defensive line thing. Over the years, I've kind of agreed with that.
That they put too much
– yeah.
They invested too many first-round picks?
Yeah.
That's one thing, but he says it's overrated.
I don't know that it's overrated, but I've always kind of thought
– Not these individual players. The fact that a good defensive line is overrated.
Oh, no. I definitely that,
that
was,
think that. That was his point, that you don't need a good defensive line to win.
You have three first-round picks.
How, the Giants.
How would you be if it was Seymour, Wilfork – and somebody else, and one of those first-round picks was in the secondary, mm-hmm. and of the caliber of Warren, but in the secondary.
Yeah, no, this guy's point was that you don't need good defensive linemen to win, because in 2001, you had two guys that were at the end of the line.
That team proved you don't need anything good to win.
Right.
Except an up-and-coming all-time winner at quarterback.
And who knows? If Mike Martz wasn't the offensive the head coach and they had run the ball a little bit more, maybe we wouldn't be saying that.
That team doesn't follow a lot of rules.
It was dumb. It was dumb. No, the three first-round picks in
Jermaine
4 years
is... They won a Super Bowl with Jermaine Wiggins. Why are we drafting tight ends in the first round?
Well, we did talk about the Giants. You know, he was saying how it's not important, and we're saying, you know, tell that to the Giants. I mean, they just won a Super Bowl really based on excellence at one spot. I mean, they really weren't excellent at any other spot other than defensive line in that game. They won a Super Bowl with it. So what are you going to say?
Yeah. Look, you know, growing up, being a Denver fan growing up, I remember that Dallas game where
Martin and Ed Jones.
I mean, they couldn't do anything on offense, and they couldn't stop anything on defense because they were losing the battle on the line. And anytime you see the Washington Redskins against the Broncos, it was always constant pressure on the quarterback because they couldn't block that defensive line. And you win that battle, and you win big games, you know? So.
I totally agree with you. I think that more often than not, that those kinds of players. Now, I'm not saying I agree with Andy to an extent. I'm not saying you have to get five first round picks and then three or four on the other side. You don't have to do that, but you need to be strong in those areas. I think.
Look, I think with the possible exception of Seymour, because I think we thought that he was going to be a little better than he has been. You know, he started out such a on fire, and he's kind of phased out a little bit, but I think it's been good investments.
Seymour's been a good investment.
I think
won Super Bowls, and he was a dominant defensive lineman.
All three of those players have played at a pretty high level.
I think
these three guys have played at a higher level than Bobby Hamilton played, and I loved Bobby Hamilton, by the way, one of my favorite guys ever over the last 8 years. Anthony Pleasant, not really fair because he was
a guy who pass rushed while running in place.
Anthony Pleasant was at the end of the line, and that's not really a fair comparison. But those, if you don't think these guys were better than those guys, then you're just not watching. And you're not paying attention to what's going on, the way they control the line.
Watch the game, Steve.
I mean, periodically back in those times, remember those games they would just, we got gashed a few times. They creased us. You know, those words that kind of became. Patriot, New England, all of a sudden it was in the football lexicon, That never happens now. Never happens now.
All right, on the phone right now is Chris from Seattle. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, good, Fred. Good, guys. Hey, I just want to thank you for joining us for a pre-game party at the Allen Thistle. It was great meeting you guys.
That was great, yeah.
Sorry to hear you're in the whole hot water about missing the next day. I just heard the Tuesday show, so I hope the hot water's died down a little bit for you.
I think it has. I think some of the people that were at the event on Sunday came through, and they've been sending us some good pictures. Even got a YouTube video.
I wrote it up too already for First Down, yeah, Freddie. So, ask Andy. I laid it on pretty thick.
So we'll have the coverage of it.
Good.
In the paper.
I mean, well, you're right. There's a ton of photos. I've been sending a ton to Kyle from over the Patriots. People are putting all kinds of things up. I've posted a lot. I actually have. I did see the YouTube thing on there. It's a little blurry. I have actually a really good one
that I'm trying to get put today.
It was like right from the stage.
Oh, send me that.
So I'll send you the link to that. Just web radio? Is that how I get a hold of you guys?
Web radio at patriots.com.
At patriots.com.
I was going to give him your email, Paul, but I figured.
Yeah, well, whatever works. Yeah, I'll get some more links to you guys.
You give him my email.
Sunday morning was just fantastic and surreal. And
how many people actually were there? Did you get a count?
Well, I was kind of bummed, and I didn't realize until halfway through that the venue didn't really have a guy. It gave him a clicker. So I my estimate based on what people donated, and there's also certain turnover of the crowd. I'd say it was a little over 300 people.
That's That's great.
Nice.
And yep. you had proceeds going to the Dana-Farber Cancer
Yeah,
Research?
It was to the Jimmy Fund, yeah. It yep. was to, we got probably a little over $1,000.
That's great.
Nice.
For the Jimmy Fund, and then
awesome.
A few hundred toward the Pats Alumni Club. So, we, yeah, so definitely raised some money there, took care of expenses. It just went so smoothly, went to fun time. I mean, I was just, you know, the crafts, I mean, I was just hoping that maybe the assistant of the vice president would show up. I didn't even, you know, I'm like, whoever, you know, and
I was just
worried that Mosey would show up, and not only did Mosey show up, and that was great. People were so thrilled to meet him. He also brought Rob Kreider along with him.
Oh, nice.
You guys remember him, the lineman from the
offensive
80s.
Tackle, yeah.
Bob lives in the Seattle area. In fact, it was funny, the Patriots organization didn't even know where the guy lived, so but Mosey got a hold of him and was like, hey, you want to go to the game? And so people were psyched to meet him, and it was just a great time, and you know, and whooping it up and all, and then it was funny, geez, you know, it was like 12:30 comes around, and oh my god, what's the game to go to now, you know? So it was, and that was a real nail biter of a game. I gotta say about the team, boggles my mind how dinged up they are, and it kind of makes me more proud of them that they're still winning. And now with, you know, Matt's dad passing away and everything, I'm like, God, what more can these guys take? But, I mean, I'm keeping the faith. And that was one thing that Mr. Kraft said, you know, he could get everybody up about, you know, the season's not over, make a lot of noise. You guys really inspire us.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many NFL owners would do that. You know, I was really blown away, and he was really very gracious and nice to me.
No, it's great. He really, those kind of fan turnouts really turn him on. He really enjoys seeing that type of fan support. That is really special to him. So,
yeah, I could. It looked like it. I mean, I couldn't. Jonathan looked pretty shocked when he looked out. I could kind of, this room's packed. I don't know if those guys even knew what they were in for or what, but yeah, they seemed very happily surprised about it, and it is just really spot on. So thank you guys for all your support, and gee, it's kind of a bummer we got to wait another 8 years before they come out to Seattle or whatever it runs.
Well, I'm a little bummed about that.
Do you ever think,
I like that.
You ever
that
think
was a nice trip.
Chris, of taking your show on the road, like having like a away game, managing away game travel and making it a business?
Well, it's funny, you know, maybe I should, you know, I become good buddies with Barry from, you know, does the Pats TG site and Orange County Group, and, you know, maybe we should. I mean, that's, I do a lot of, you know, things and gatherings and stuff. I do, particularly with the Red Sox, I do as well. So, yeah, that's a good, maybe you inspire me here, Fred. Maybe I should do it. I know.
Well,
I know,
if you're going to do Red Sox,
that would be fun,
it.
You know?
No, like, Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I've traveled around the country, and I know a lot, because you guys had mentioned, you know, on Tuesday, I work in music business stuff, and so I know people at venues. So, I don't know. You get the wheels turning, guys.
Okay. All right.
Well, let me know it worked out, Chris.
Let me know if you need any help on that, Chris.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris from Seattle.
See you in 8 years.
Put on just a really, really well-done event. They had a stage. They had microphones. I mean, it's almost as if they knew the Crafts were coming, but they had that stuff anyway. And so he really knew what he was doing. Then the night before.
They were prepared, unlike
us. Yeah, the night before, we met up with them at the Owl and Thistle.
Yes.
As we found out in the Qdoba question of the day today.
Sort of.
And that was nice. A little smaller gathering, but just as boisterous. A lottie, lottie, lottie.
Oh, God.
That guy.
That guy was very annoying.
That guy was hammered. He wasn't even making sense at the end.
Yeah.
It was one thing when he was getting it right, but then he was just stumbling and fumbling. And he was like Paul in San Francisco. I mean, San Diego.
Easy for you to say.
Yemi from Texas says...
Just an idiot. You were drunk.
Speaking of Paul, Yemi from Texas says he has two thoughts. Why is Paul worried about losing his job if Fred leaves the organization? Paul has been Fred's right-hand man for about 10 years. He seems like a logical choice to replace Fred. I agree with Andy on Matt Cassel. As a quarterback, he will be judged differently from other players. If the Patriots lose because he did not play, people will question his mental toughness.
Yeah, no, I agree with Andy on that, too.
Yeah, they will.
My job will definitely be in jeopardy if Fred leaves.
No.
Yeah.
They'll have to just hire four people to do what I did. But
right. Which, obviously, I'd be in
but
jeopardy.
You do one of it. You do one part of that.
Paul looks like four people.
Oh, well done.
Wow. That was fast, too, Jeff.
Look at how excited he gets.
He's
such a loser. Speaking of your sister, I see you borrowed her shirt today.
Oh.
Nice.
I don't think it would fit her.
No, she's got a bigger chest.
Yeah. Let's see. Strippers writes in. He said, did you see B-Lo's face on SportsCenter?
No.
He was featured prominently in the background. His head was almost as big as the player being interviewed.
It was hilarious.
Now, those are funny. Do you ever watch SportsCenter and you see yourself out? You had no idea at the time, but you look and you're like, wow, what a tool. You're sitting there like
SportsCenter
right in the middle.
Or Fifth Quarter.
Well, that's different. That's totally accidental. You could get out of the camera shots in the locker room if you want to.
He was talking to Sammy Morris, and it looked like the cameraman was taking pictures of B-Lo, and Sammy Morris was getting in his way.
Well, the big thing, will those pictures appear on brianlow.com?
There's a brianlow.com?
Oh, I'm sure there is. We should check that. Is there a Brianlow.com? Because there's a ChristinaAcra.com. I assume assume they all have their own website.
And people have interest in her. Well, one has interest in him.
She's right out here.
Well, she's still hot.
That's okay.
She knows.
She has a website. We can't talk about it.
Is there Brianlow.com?
Two genders. See, you would know this.
Blow.com.
If you actually followed your sister and her hot friends around, you would know that hot chicks usually know that they're
good-looking. It's under construction.
No, Brian Law.
It's under construction, right?
Under construction.
Anthony in North Carolina says, hey, Paul, what brand or model camera did you get, and how is it so far? I have been wanting one for a while.
It's a Sony HD with a hard drive. I don't know exactly all the other
ones. But you haven't tried it because it's a gift.
It's Beth's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already gave it to her.
Oh, you gave it to her already?
Yeah, because we need to use it next Thursday.
For what?
When, by the way, I won't be here.
I love how he weaves these in into the show. I'm leaving when the big show at 2.
Will's in a Christmas pageant thing at school, and that's why she really wanted the camera for that day. So that's why I wanted to get out and get it beforehand so she could figure out how to use it.
Watch out for those pageants. Not too many of those, all right?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Next up, Ericville.
Sports.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry about it.
And why do they have to call it a pageant?
Don't worry about that.
What exactly is he doing?
I don't know. He plays two different roles,
though. Is he wearing tights?
He's the innkeeper, I think, for one thing.
Don't let him wear tights.
But didn't we used to call those plays?
I don't know.
Pageant has a gay overtone to it.
All right, so it's a Christmas play.
Okay, good.
I don't know.
I feel better about Will now.
Okay.
He's my boy. I got to look out for him.
I wouldn't worry about that, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm not really.
He's
36-3 in the third at Fenway Park in his room.
I think
track
that's
the girls on the scoreboard.
I don't know.
He's a psychopath. Him, the little one though, Freddie, double ear infection.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ow.
He actually.
I thought you were gonna say gay.
No.
The little one though.
He's got even less chance. Will does have. Andy's right.
Artistic
Will,
undertones.
Will has a couple of things like all of a sudden he'll like this like you know odd color thing and you're like that's for girls, buddy. Don't worry about that. But TJ is like he's all man.
Wow.
He's all man. But the poor kid, he actually pointed to his ear yesterday and said, "Ow."
Oh.
Yeah. Come on.
Hurt.
That hurts.
Yeah, that does.
So you know, of course, you know, parents of the year. He's been kind of sick for like 3 days. Beth took him to the doctor yesterday. Yeah, double ear infection. There's quite a bit of fluid there in that ear. Had to give him the amoxicillin this morning. Fight night at the forum. Yeah. Will was holding him down, holding the arms.
Oh, he
down.
Doesn't like it.
Oh, he
the pink
it.
Stuff.
Hates it.
Huh.
Will has no problems with it. TJ hates it.
Yeah. Let's see.
That little tangent was brought to you by the Perillo family.
Paul's favorite
which
emailer.
Which wove in. I'm not going to be there Thursday.
Paul's at least for part of the day, anyway.
This is next Thursday?
Next Thursday, the 18th.
Okay, because the Thursday after you're going to be here, right?
Oh, that's Christmas.
Oh. Yeah, the 8 and 7 sounds like 25 to me. Oh, I heard you, guy. All right.
Let's see.
Bobby O'Fabrizi.
5 points of Perillo coming up.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes in, is Larry Izzo an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker, and does it matter?
No.
An
inside. An
inside.
But he can play outside, I'm sure.
Well,
I wouldn't think so. He's 5-0.
I mean, he'd be ahead of Johnny Rotten on the depth chart at outside linebacker, but he's bottom of the barrel.
He's way too – I mean, don't you think he's way too small to play outside
linebacker? In a pinch, someone's going to play there.
Yeah.
Because next up is a safety or a corner or – Ray Ventrone or whoever.
He's too small to play inside linebacker, too.
That's why he's a special teams ace.
All right.
We love Larry Izzo. That's not meant to be disparaging.
He is who he is.
He's another one of our favorites. By the way, that's what makes this team kind of fun. They don't have too many bad guys.
No, they don't.
They're all really good to talk to. After wins and losses, too.
Of course, they're kind of like us. Every once in a while. Each and every one of them gets a little cranky about something.
Well,
oh, yeah.
You're only human.
Right.
Like when Richard slapped you around that time about Ray Lewis. You know, you called him a murderer. So that's wrong.
Why are you
was
watching?
Was that wrong? And why were you watching that?
Paul from London writes in, hey, guys, and no Eric. Since everyone is telling their tales, I would just like to say that PFW has been enjoyable this week since I almost cut the top half of my right fourth finger off while taking a microwave oven out of a box. The douchebag that dropped it and smashed it is heading for a suing if I can get enough money out of it to get to Boston earlier than I want to. Although I would rather have use of the fingers, since when I am not working, I am in college using computers permanently, and typing is hard with two fingers on your right hand being used to type since my others are wrapped together. But PFW came through for me. In return, I am splitting lunch costs with Cormac for you when he comes over, and has a gift for me for Eric, since he won't fully appreciate the alcohol that is going to be for the guys on the show, but not Eric. Wouldn't it be funny if you bought him like a full-size dildo?
I can't say that.
I can't. That's not good.
I love when he looks at Dan. Like, Dan's going to actually say, no, Fred, you can't say
that. You don't have the rules in there?
12-year-old clown behind the glass.
Can I get a list of words? I thought that was okay.
You thought that was okay, yeah, did you?
I did. Anyway,
Eric's a male. He's
Paul goes on to say, I was wondering what the chances are that Castle will not play Sunday, and if he does, how would the playbook change for O'Connell with his extra rushing ability that he would provide?
I don't think the playbook would change a whole heck of a lot.
No.
I think it would be pared back, even though they wouldn't admit to it. It'll be a simpler approach.
They'd have to,
yeah. The chances, I have no idea. I'm not in Matt Castle's head.
I don't know how any of us could answer that question. But
by the way, does
this.
He know? You think he knows for certain right now what he's doing?
No.
Because I'm not sure he does.
No, I think he's going to gauge it. See how his family is.
Because the service is Monday, it said, the funeral.
Oh, really?
So it's not even like it's going to be done like they have a funeral on Saturday and it's concluded.
He'll play.
I think he will, but I don't know.
But there's no way of really knowing that for sure. Now, I will say Oakland.
Do you know, by the way?
Oakland plays a ton of.
It's one of those where you say, he'll play, and you tell us later, I knew.
Oakland plays a ton of man-to-man coverages, which I think opens the door for quarterback runs. Now,
sure.
I think that'll happen with Castle playing
right,
or not. Now, I do think O'Connell is even more mobile than Castle, but we've seen that Castle can run the ball.
Right.
And I would think that when
but
you play man-to-man.
But that's in the offense. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's not.
Castle's done it.
I don't think they'll be designed runs. Right. I think it'll be scrambles that I think might have opportunities to make yardage because.
In times
when you're
when
in man-to-man,
Josh says,
you have the back to the.
Don't forget now, we're in man-to-man. You can run. Don't be afraid to pull it if, you know, do it earlier rather than later.
Running.
I like that man-to-man thing. Have you read Eric's Pulse story yet?
No.
Because I thought you would get – it's about Wes Welker, and we all know how little you think of Wes Welker.
Oh, I don't know why you keep doing that.
But what he quotes
– I don't know why you think little of Wes Welker.
I don't think little of
stop.
Him.
Stop.
Welker's your favorite player.
Asima or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Has all these quotes, and then he talks about the fact that the Raiders play a lot of man-to-man coverage, and Asima is their best corner. And I'm thinking right here is where Paul inserts, therefore, why is he in a Wes Welker story? Because he'll see none of Wes Welker because he'll be on Randy Moss – all day.
But evidently the Raiders don't do that.
Well.
They match
right. They have done
they
it.
They play him on the left side. They've done a little of it,
right.
Bill said. But
I wouldn't be shocked if they do it this week.
See, I would think that you would put him on Moss. But I think there's two schools of thought on the whole thing. With
is this the Fred Kirsch tennis ladder theory?
I don't know.
I don't know either. What?
Wait, the one versus one, but they might knock each other out. So you do a one versus two and the two versus one in your matchups.
Well,
you do
mean,
that.
If I had, but okay. See, but if I have. It's not just any one. If I have a one that I think could take Welker out of the game completely, like Asma, I would put him on him. And then I would double Moss
right.
All day. Now, if I can't do that, it doesn't make any sense.
Did you read all the quotes from
Indianapolis
Asma?
Did that last
that
year
say?
In the game at the Dome with Marlon Jackson. Covered
right.
Wes Welker man-to-man for the whole game and took him out of the game and then got hurt. And Welker killed him down the stretch.
Well, Asma's better than
Paul.
Certainly a lot better than Marlon Jackson.
Paul has a couple of questions. Will Welker get more catches last year than last year, and how many do you expect him to get on Sunday since Asamoga will be covering Moss one-on-one? So Paul's assuming that.
No matter how many times we say Asama, you're just going to call him whatever you want, huh?
What is it, Asama?
No matter how many times we say Asama, what is it, Asama? he will get more than last year.
Who's his agent?
Shut
ben
up, fat mouth.
No, Gary, you just...
Because he always gets six catches when he's not hurt. So that right there is 18. That puts you at 114.
Yeah. He's on pace to break his 112.
And that would be the Patriots record again, right?
Yeah,
a indeed. New record.
Yeah, it's his own record.
Right. How many Patriots will get into the official Pro Bowl teams, and how many do you think should get in the Pro Bowl?
I think he's got with the performance that he had last week was,
I told you, Paul, he's going to be in the
time.
Pro Bowl.
perfect time. Well, you said that before he put up a 12-catch.
He also flawed yesterday in that tight end argument. They're on bad teams or something. When somebody goes Owen Daniels, I don't know. I think Andre Johnson's a decent weapon on that offense. That
well, I said that makes it more impressive that when you're on a bad. I mean,
but the facts aren't right.
The fact
they're
that
not
Tony
on bad
Gonzalez
offenses.
Has
when
80,
Andre, the best receiver in football is lining up outside of him.
No,
right now, the best receiver in football is Andre
about,
Johnson.
I was talking
and he's
about
on the same field.
Tony Gonzalez is the guy that I mentioned.
But even
said,
that, Dwayne Bowe is a very good receiver.
But the fact that he has a bad team and the third-string quarterback throwing the football to him makes it more impressive that he's able to do that.
I don't always agree with that.
I do. And
that's
I
why Ben Watson caught a ton of passes.
He didn't catch
no
a ton of passes.
He had like 50 catches.
No, he didn't.
How many did he have?
46 is his career high.
Oh, he had like 50 catches, and he goes 46. Sorry,
Tony
I was
Tony Gonzalez has 80.
But Fred, I mean,
there's
Paul,
a huge difference.
That's a ton of catches for Ben Watson.
His breakout year was 50.
Well, now
catches.
We know that it is
right.
A ton
but my
of,
point but is, that's the year he caught a ton of passes when there was nobody else to throw to.
But
when they tried to make him a part, the biggest
even,
part of the offense.
My point is, even then, 50 catches is his breakout season.
Right, but that's because he stinks.
When they had no one else to throw to,
if he
could
was
only
any
catch
good,
50
he would have
balls.
Had, he would have had more that year. He would have had 75.
Exactly. That's exactly
of course,
my
I thought
point.
He had 50, and he only had 46.
Well, let's just say he had 60. If he was any good, he should have had 80, like Tony
right.
Gonzalez is
right.
in Kansas City.
But
for
I think
1,000
on
yards.
A bad offense, you generally do get more production if you're the best of a bad apple.
Because maybe I'm
group.
Confusing him with Dante Stallworth. Maybe he did have 50. Maybe because Stallworth, I think, had 40-something too, right, last year? Maybe I'm confusing their numbers. I thought 46 stuck out to me. Anyway, but my point is, if he was any good.
46 to me is 50 the same. I don't really care.
If he was any good, he would have had a lot more than that as being the only option. Right?
Right.
Like Rishay Caldwell.
But
has,
now you're agreeing with the guy who's.
No, I'm not.
If you have talent and you're on a bad team, you're going to put up numbers. If
no,
you're
I,
the only
I think
option.
If you have talent, yes.
Right. But that
he
was
didn't
the guy's
agree
point.
That he didn't agree that.
No, no, but the guy's point was all those guys put up numbers because they're on a bad offense,
no,
right?
No, his point is that Watson would do that on other teams.
Well, he wouldn't because we've already seen him be that on
that,
this team.
And that was my point.
You'll make it.
But
my point.
It makes it harder
in
to put
theory,
up those
bad,
numbers to me unless you're good.
Well, yeah.
He's the only
but
option.
But saying he stinks is just that he stinks. I mean,
but
he's going to stink whether...
Tony Gonzalez.
But if you're mediocre, if you have some talent, but you're
you
not capable of being the star,
Gonzalez
that's what
caught,
he is.
Gonzalez
he's
caught,
mediocre.
I think he's below mediocre.
I don't think so.
Gonzalez caught 5 or 6 passes subpar. Against the Patriots that day, right?
Subpar for a first-round draft pick, but I think he's mediocre.
They did it yesterday. They can give you a list of somewhere in the near 20 tight ends that are easily better than him.
Playing in the league right now?
Yes.
I still say he's mediocre.
Despite the facts that say
I mean,
he's below average.
He's a pretty good blocker. You got to factor that into.
But he wasn't known as a blocker
right.
at
no,
all.
But
he's developed there because he stinks
but
as a
receiver.
But
that's what makes him better than a bust right now.
He's supposed to be a pass-catching tight end, and you're citing his blocking.
Well, I'm just
his
saying.
His blocking is just better than it was.
As far as a tight end right now, I think he's.
When you're drafted to do something and you don't do that, I don't really care what else you develop
I know,
into.
But what,
I drafted you for a specific
right,
reason.
But what he is right now is a mediocre tight end.
Below average. Subpar.
I say
I'm not going to get into labels. I just think there are plenty of guys that are better than he is. And I think that it's harder when you're the only option. I thought Kansas City in that first game this year, Gonzalez must have caught 4, 5, 6 passes that day. Every one of them had he had 3 guys on him. Every one of them. I think that makes it harder when you're the only option for an offense.
Sure it does.
I mean, he doesn't catch too many passes like Watson did on Sunday with no one in the same area code as him.
All right. Ross writes in. Are you done, Andy?
With what?
This argument.
Yeah, yes. that was a Paul Fred argument. He's mediocre. No, he's subpar. He's mediocre. No, he's subpar.
Well, you tell him there's 20. He doesn't disagree with the number but says, I think he's mediocre. Well, 20 puts you in the bottom 12.
It's about 16.
That was a Fred Paul argument. I like it.
Ross says, as long as everyone is writing in and telling you how great you are, I thought I'd send you my story as well. I'll try
you
to
suck.
Keep it short. I own a small newspaper in Iowa, and in May, can you get me another cookie, Paul? I own a small newspaper in Iowa, and in May, we bought a new office building. We had dumped a ton of money into it, fixing it up, and had actually been working out of the office for about 3 weeks when the floods hit Iowa. Our entire town was devastated. Our office had almost 18 inches of water on the main floor. One sad thing is that since we had just moved in and since we were renovating the upstairs, we moved everything that we owned into the basement, which was obviously completely filled with the nastiest water you have ever seen. We lost decades worth of papers in town history. You guys might appreciate the fact that even though the flood hit on Sunday, and as of Monday afternoon, we still had a foot of water flowing through our office, we still hit our Tuesday morning deadline at the printer.
Nice.
We were able to get the paper out by moving our office into a conference room in our church. Since our community center was also destroyed, the group of seniors that met there were forced to move into the church as well. So I'm working in a room with 20-plus old people sitting outside the door and with a doorway that went directly into the pastor's office. That made for some very interesting times listening to the show.
Uh-oh, we had a pastor listening.
I hate using phones, so I usually listen at night, but every once in a while I try to listen live, and it never lasted long. I'd be listening and constantly be whipping around to make sure no one heard what was just said. One time I turned on the show live, and within 30 seconds Andy yelled, "I guarantee goddamn it." Oh, boy.
Sorry, God.
So I turned off the show. Another time I turned on the show, I came in just in time for the whole teen girl breast debate and the drilling for oil line that had to, and I had to turn it off again. I went through a lot of long days and nights, and it was always nice to be able to listen to you guys and totally get away from the other crap going on in my life, even if it was just for a couple of hours. You all really helped me get through a tough time. It's amazing that it can be healing to listen to guys making gay jokes, talking about the way they use to wipe their you-know-what, and occasionally talking about football. Thanks for what you do, and keep up the good work. That's
what we're
good.
Here for, to embarrass you in front of your pastor.
Wow, that is – I can see the pastor saying, no, 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 keep it on.
Right. Who's this Eric guy? I kind of like him.
See, now, that's not right.
You've crossed the
you
line.
You read the papers?
You've crossed the line there.
The small newspaper industry is doing well? That's what I took from that. He bought a new building, dumped a lot of money into it?
Oh, in general, yeah. Hmm. Like community newspapers?
I assume that's what it kind of sounded like.
Local ones, because they get the local advertising. There's no other place
for
those places.
Only way you can get your local news, too.
Yeah.
Accurate and dependable.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but you get your news. Ping Pong writes
Ping
in.
Ping Pong!
He says, wow, two gender, what an epic screw up. I think that you might have just become more gay than Eric.
Ping
I would
pong.
Have killed to be in your place as a kid. Talking about yesterday about Dan two gender growing up with an older sister.
Who's hot.
I started
probably
to like
has hot friends, and he said there was too much of an age divide. I was too young to notice.
I started to like girls at the age of 10, and I would have loved to spy on my sister and all of her hot friends.
Ping pong.
I only have an older brother and would have loved an older sister instead. I saw a picture of her, and she has some nice rib pontoons, and I can't say the other. And
Ping
I must
pong.
Admit, I have a soft or hard spot for commercial ladies.
Ping penis. Pong!
Since you did not read my Monday email, I will tell you this again. On last Thursday's Patriot Playbook, Eric and Rook were talking about greatest countries they have been to. Boy, we're the ones that don't talk football?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, Eric brought up Egypt as the greatest vacation he's ever taken. Immediately, Two Ginger came on. It was on the verge of saying something about his made-up woman when Eric cuts him off and starts to shout, shut up, shut up, shut up, Two Ginger, shut up. What is that all about?
No, I wasn't going to say anything about his made-up woman. I was just going to start calling it Eggpite.
Oh, but he was so on the defensive about the woman that...
Wow.
I think it was a little bit of both.
That's still an issue. That's still an open wound months and months and months later.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not here now, so can you explain to me what happened? Because I really don't know.
They had a little thing on the weekend, I mean on the vacation, where they kind of got along. And then he kind of tried to pursue it, I believe, when they got back, and she stopped responding.
Right.
I don't want to be too mean here, because I truly believe...
Those things rarely last.
It's a very... But it still hurts him. It's still an issue. It's still... The wound is still very much open.
Well, there was a glimmer of hope there. There was a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, there shouldn't have been, but that's on his end.
Strippers tells us that www.brianlowe.com is a park domain, which means someone has reserved it.
Probably that egomaniac.
So... You don't have paulperillo.com, Paul?
I don't. Maybe strippers can buy it for me.
We should have a paulperillo.com.
For what?
It could have all the links to all the live stuff he's doing. So when he's on EEI, we could listen to that. You can listen to this show. You know, we could have a calendar. We could make a calendar of where he's going to be.
Oh, I thought you meant with like him with his shirt off.
No, no, no. No.
Just almost threw up my Qdoba buffet.
All his appearances so people can keep track of him.
So did I.
No, we don't want to do that.
Why, have you had another one of those days, Paul? Remember when you told me you were putting your shoes on the bed and looked in the mirror and go, wow, I am fat.
Paul in L.A. wants
nothing
to know.
Nothing like confiding anything in Andy, huh?
No. Paul in L.A. wants to know, with Castle probable, not that I expect him not to play, but has O'Connell been taking reps and how does he look?
Yes, he's been taking reps. No one knows how he looks because not even Eric gets to watch the whole practice.
Looks great from the East Coast.
Yeah. Hopefully he no longer throws those little dump-off passes at people's shoe tops like he did in training camp. The other question I had, why was Kevin Falk and Randy Moss out of practice, non-football, non-injury, whatever?
I'm guessing they were given days off. I mean, I don't have anything to base that on, but I'm just thinking, you know, older veteran guys, heavy workload, maybe they're just giving them a day off.
Okay. Just wondering.
Andrew,
you think Mossel's, this is something special to him this week in terms of trying to put up one of his, I don't know why they disrespect me like that kind of games, or, you know, the whole thing with Dallas where every time he went back to Dallas he wanted to put on a show.
Yeah, he'll say no, but I'll bet you it is.
Right, and then he'll say yes afterwards when he puts up two touchdowns and 160 yards.
Right. I can't imagine it isn't. I mean, that was a very ugly divorce that they had over there.
Right.
And then you have, even though the people that said it aren't with them anymore, but you got Art Schell and probably others saying he can't play anymore. I think that more than anything else probably irked him, you know.
Be interesting to see. See if he can do some damage and then enjoy it. And as I wrote, you know, a warm game, so we know he kind of seems to tend to
What's
do better in
the
warm
like,
games.
What's the temperature like for Oakland?
I don't know, 60.
Now, we're leaving Friday.
Tomorrow. No idea when.
What are our plans? Do we have any plans?
Well, do you have any travel plans?
What do you mean?
Like for us?
Going with you.
When we're leaving.
Like when we leaving?
Well, there's like 20 people leaving tomorrow, so they're going to pick us up and take us.
You should bring a Qdoba book.
So just be ready to go.
But like, are we leaving at 8 o'clock?
In the morning?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, Paul tends to kind of wander in at various times throughout the week. And...
But in all seriousness, there are times when I don't get here until 9:30. I want to make sure we're not leaving
times?
At 9. Yeah. Yeah, usually on days that I have to drop my kids off, like today.
Weekdays that end in day.
For some reason, I heard like 2 o'clock. When's the flight?
I heard the flight was at like 2 something.
2:40 is the flight. And we're flying regular commercial, so we're
probably
be there
leaving
early.
Here around 11:30.
Right, that's what I kind of thought.
Yeah.
Okay, but I like the probably.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Should you check? Is
I'm
there
so
concern?
Busy. I shouldn't even be here right now. I just have too much to do.
I'm sorry I brought it up, Fred.
I just don't.
Because, you know, he had to go to breakfast with Jonathan this morning. Well, that just set the whole day back.
He didn't really want to go. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you tell me I have to be there, I'll go.
It just screws everything up.
But because you're on thin ice, you decided to go.
That's right.
Good call.
Good call by you because Andrew in Ukraine, Andy and I can't afford to be out of work right now.
Andrew says, so I was catching up on the blog and I read, facing the Oakland Raiders this weekend should bring back some memories for Seau, who played them twice a year for several seasons as a member of the San Diego Chargers. Several? As in 13? Exactly how did he miss the layoff? He's talking about Eric, of course. Seriously, is he getting paid minimum wage?
Paul?
I think it's kind of nitpicky.
No, but make fun of Eric. I like it. Go with it.
I think that's a little rough.
I liked the line about how did he miss the layoffs?
Well, the answer is barely. No.
He was the leader in the vote on PFWProgress.com for who should get laid off. Just so you know, too, Gender, you had more votes than Gary.
He's like, yeah, so what? I'm here. Webradio@Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio. We haven't taken a break, so let's do that right now.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play.
No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's going to be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really great stuff at Christmas Tree Shops, and I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place and Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
July 27, 2008. Going back to Cali. Perhaps in honor of the team's two West Coast trips, the Patriots performed their pre-practice stretching to the tune of LL Cool J's Going Back to Cali. That was followed by the all-time club classic Apache, which got Paul in a good mood for a change. Also, in a totally unrelated matter, Fred, I don't miss practices, Kirsch, has yet to arrive this morning.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right, back here in Web Radio at Patriots.com.
Fred, I don't miss practices, Kirsch, left at the same time the guy who was called I don't miss overnights, Kirsch, is to attend a concert 2 years ago. You've missed plenty of practices of late.
And just so you know, you don't miss enough practices. You should miss more.
Why?
Because you have a lot of responsibility.
Dave Thomas making it look easy.
You have a lot of responsibility, and maybe you wouldn't be in such hot water from time to time if you missed a practice or two here or there.
I'd like to see what's going on, you know, from my own eyes. So
you don't
see
trust
Dave
us?
Thomas making it look easy.
You don't trust your
in his last
days
as a Patriot?
Well, I mean,
now that Tyson DeVry has passed him on the
depth chart.
To
you guys, I just think that Wes Welker's a nice little player. You
That's
know,
not
I
what
have
I said.
To see it with my own eyes.
First of all, it is what you
he
said.
He doesn't even think he's a nice little player anymore.
How about
he's
just a short little
see,
player?
This is ridiculous. This is I take a lot of, you know, good-natured, maybe
food
not,
and put it in your
maybe
mouth.
Not so good-natured ribbon, but this Wes Welker thing has really gone
too far.
It's gone to extremes.
That's what we do.
Because I don't think he's an all-pro means I don't think he's good.
That's pretty much what you said.
That's literally
what do you do? You think,
he's
a pro bowler?
I do think he's
a
pro bowler.
Do you think Jabbar Gaffney could slide right into his role and be productive?
112 catches productive? No.
Oh, you said that last week. I don't think they'd miss a beat if he was out of the lineup.
I think the offense would be rather unaffected in terms of the amount of points it scores. Yeah, I do.
I don't either.
But I think he's having a Pro Bowl season. You know, I think last week's game put him over the top. 12 catches, 130 whatever yards. That's a big game.
You join the troop over here who says he's going to make the Pro Bowl. Should be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I just said last week's game put him in the Pro Bowl.
I think one game should never put you in a Pro Bowl.
But I think it accentuates
when you lead the league in catches and you catch at least 6 every week.
But I think it accentuated
12 is irrelevant.
I think it accentuated his numbers. I don't think that the numbers were all that impressive, Andy, to be honest with you. You know,
I do.
This is
consistency
impresses
me in this league.
The only thing I disagree with you guys on is number of catches doesn't impress me. That's the only thing I disagree with you guys on.
See, I think
last week he caught passes and made yards. He made yards with the catches last week. That to me was different than most of the games that he's had. That's all I'm saying.
He only averaged 10 yards a catch. 12 for 130 is not that much different than 7 for 80.
Yeah, well, he hadn't averaged 10 yards a catch in a lot of games.
Yes, he had.
Okay. But anyway,
just 10 yards a catch.
You guys have me out as saying that he's not a good player, and
that's
ridiculous.
You don't think the offense would change much without him. I think that is
much.
Says a lot.
I think you can't underestimate his impact.
But
he's so dependable. He's so reliable. You know, he just
so consistent. He's the most consistent guy. You know what you're going to get from him every week.
I agree with that, but you're making an assumption that you can't get anybody else to do that.
I think you could get other people.
You're so fascinated by the true athletic superstar. If the guy doesn't meet that mold, like him.
Comparable to Troy Brown?
You think Troy Brown's great?
No. Do you think this guy is comparable to Troy Brown was my question.
I think he's done things in the 2 years that Troy Brown never did in his career.
Okay. Andy, I'll ask you then. Do you think he's comparable to Troy Brown?
As far as a slot receiver.
I do now, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just think that you can get guys like that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I need to jump ship.
But now you're diminishing Troy Brown.
I mean, aside from catch 11 more
passes. That's him, not me.
What's he done that Troy Brown
never
did?
I think he's very similar to Troy Brown.
But a lot of people think Troy Brown is underrated, and he was a lot better than people thought he was.
Yeah,
part of that is because he made big plays to win titles.
Yeah, and I think,
and a lot of his came in the kicking
right.
game.
Consistency.
What has he done that Troy Brown never did?
Over two seasons, he's done something that Troy Brown's never done. He's going to have 100 catches.
The offense is much better. This is where I agree with Paul. If you put Troy Brown with Randy Moss, you would have had plenty of those seasons. Troy Brown caught 100 catches because he was the only guy to catch the ball.
Yeah, but he's doing it with Matt Cassel. He's not doing it with Tom Brady. I mean, you know, you can make both arguments. Look,
I just don't think Wes Welker's done anything that Troy
Brown
never did.
I don't
understand that.
Well, Troy Brown was better than Wes Welker after the catch.
Right
he was
now,
quicker.
Right now,
he was more of a big play threat.
You can make the argument that the best slot receiver in the NFL is Wes Welker.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know if we ever said that about Troy Brown.
Best slot receiver?
But yeah.
He was, absolutely.
And he also didn't play with Randy Moss. That improves the receiver.
Maybe.
I mean, Wes Welker said it. They fear Randy Moss.
Let me ask you this.
Well, what's he going to say? It's all me.
Let me ask you this.
Well, of course he's going to get
credit. No, he's
going to
be honest because he sees them fearing Randy Moss on a weekly basis.
Just do the eye test, okay? Just the eye test. Forget about the numbers.
Troy Brown's better. I'll take Troy Brown.
Really?
In the prime of his career over Wes Welker, no question.
Just for receiving? You know?
Yes. I like Troy Brown more.
Okay.
I don't think I ever saw Troy Brown drop a pass when it mattered. Late in his career a little bit, maybe, but when it mattered, I don't think Troy Brown ever dropped a pass.
Who's Buffalo's slot receiver?
I have no idea.
Who's the Jets' slot receiver?
I have no idea.
Who's Denver's slot receiver?
I don't know.
Who's Dallas's?
They have that little guy.
Who's name me another slot receiver.
Well,
I'll let you pick the team.
You pick a better one.
I didn't say that he wasn't the best one. I'm trying to point out it's kind of a contrived thing. Who are the other slot receivers?
It's any guy that lines up in the slot regularly.
Yeah, I don't know another guy who lines up in the slot regularly.
Okay, I would say that he's maybe the top five number two receiver in the league.
Top five number two receiver in the league.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty good, too.
No, I'm just saying, like, we come up with these things like he's the best slot receiver in the league, and I'm not sure that other teams have such a defined one guy that does what Wes Welker does. Now, part of that is because Wes Welker's really, really good at it.
Okay.
Other teams don't have that.
You want to call him possession receiver.
I think he's a very good player. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm defensive about this, that I don't need to be. I don't understand what you're trying to make me say.
I mean, he just keeps doing it over and over and over again. He's just
But what does he do that, like, you look and say, I don't see anybody else being able to do that. I see Randy Moss do that all the time. I don't see Wes Welker do things that I don't think other guys could do.
Well, Randy Moss is one of the greatest receivers
ever. But then you
to
make
play.
Fun of me because I'm infatuated with like this athleticism and talent. No, but, yes, I am. But, I'm infatuated with guys that are once in a lifetime kind of players. I am infatuated.
And that's Randy Moss.
But that's all I'm saying. But don't make it sound like I think Wes Welker's a stiff off the street. I think he's a very good player. I think that he and guys like Andre Johnson are light years apart.
If Welker has a 6 or 7 year career with the Patriots like he's doing right now, I mean, I think he's a shoo-in for the Patriots Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
Okay.
600 or 700 catch seasons.
700 catches over 7 years.
I'm guessing the franchise leader in receptions. The franchise leader in receptions probably will get in, yeah.
You know, I just think he's...
Although you are on the committee, so he's on the fence.
Will you kick Troy Brown out when he makes it? Is that how it works?
No, that's not how it works. There's not a limited amount of spots.
Anyway, I just felt like... I feel like you guys keep making it out to be that I say that Wes Welker can't play. And I think you guys are... I know you're joking with me a little bit, but I think you're making it sound like a little bit different than I feel.
And
I think
understand
he's a
that,
very,
but,
very
but
good
when,
player.
When you talk about him, to me it sounds like you're just kind of diminishing what he does. It's like, yeah, you know, it's okay what he does, but it's not that hard what he does. What he does. A lot of people could do what he does.
Well, if you said it like that, I wouldn't be so defensive about it. It's when you say that I think he's a stiff that
no,
kind of makes
me I know that.
Defensive.
I know you don't think that. But you think a lot of people could do what
I
he
do.
Does.
I do. I think a lot of people can catch wide receiver screens. I do.
Can
you think of a catch that he made this year that you said, wow, what a catch?
Yeah, a lot of them off of shoe tops.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he makes great catches. I think he makes a lot of good catches.
He has excellent hands.
A lot of
I'm
good
not saying
catches.
That he has bad hands. I'm just saying Randy Moss, you can come up with
I
all
know,
of those
plays.
He
doesn't have the reach of Randy or the jumping ability of Randy. He doesn't have the God-given talent of Randy Moss.
Exactly.
Right, but
so why do we make it out to be that he is that kind of once in a lifetime player?
No, who does
well,
that?
See, now
we're
Fred
not
does.
Doing that.
No,
you
don't.
I don't.
Andy, in your defense, you don't. But Fred does.
But there's a middle ground there.
Best in the league.
Did,
you know,
did I ever say that he goes to Canton?
You just said he's the best in the league at what he does.
Is he better than T.J. Hushmanzada?
Who I also think is highly overrated, by the way.
I would say no.
Okay, so he's not in the top five of number two receivers in the league.
T.J.
What? A little rundown in my mind.
What do you have?
Well, Hushmanzada and Johnson were my bottom two, were five.
Well, Johnson's the number one receiver.
No.
The pairings. You got to have two to have a number two, right?
Okay. Well.
Roy Williams and Terrell Owens are in there. Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin are in there. I actually put Coles and Cotchery above those two because I think they're both physically more gifted. I don't even know who's
See,
the
I
one,
don't know
who's
about
the two.
That.
How many is that?
Four.
That's four.
Who's the other one?
See, I can't put Harrison in there anymore. Harrison and Wayne.
Maybe that was my
Welker's
fifth.
Better than Harrison now. I'll say that.
Maybe that was my fifth, Harrison and Wayne.
He's up there.
Welker's better than Harrison.
This is
right
like
now,
he's a bottom tier guy, and you give him 20 tight ends that are better than Ben. Well, no, I think he's average 16.
Look, I think he
lets the facts just disappear.
He's somewhat unique in what he does. He's not a flat out post. You know, pattern receiver.
I think everything you guys said to describe him, I would wholeheartedly agree.
He's
with.
A cagey little tough underneath receiver.
Ridiculously tough.
He's what Tim Dwight should have been.
Well,
they're different. Tim Dwight was a world-class speed guy.
He was a speed guy. But if they had used him underneath a little
like
bit more, he would have had a longer
but
I think
his skills didn't
they were different
suit
skill
it.
Sets.
He wasn't
they,
just
they,
like Welker would not be suited if you went go outside and run 9-9 patterns.
Yeah.
Because you would never get off the line. You're quick. You're not fast. You know, you need to use the guys to your skills.
Yeah, I think the way, you know, the toughness, absolutely. I mean, and we'll see. You know, Brandon Stokely did it for a very short time, and he's been banged up a lot since. We'll see how Wes, you know, because I don't know how long you can take those shots. And like you said, 7 years, waive the period. Because if he does this for you know, 5 years,
first of
put
all,
him
if
in
he
the
does
Hall
it for
fame.
7 years, he's probably going to go in the
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
If you have 700 catch seasons, I mean, you're not the – I don't know what that face means, but it's not going to happen. If I did it 7 years in a row, I'd be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So move your little eyebrows up and down. It's not going to happen.
What is he talking about?
He thinks it's going to happen. He thinks it's like a layup.
No.
I think there's a better chance that he's not
Andy
in the league
does.
In 7 years.
This is what Andy does. He thinks it's going to
well,
layup.
Well, see, because you use your little faces off the air that no one can see that are ridiculous.
And I didn't even see it. I didn't even know what you guys were talking about.
And you know he
about.
Did it because the way he's turning red
well,
and
he's all red
right now.
I just think it's...
When are you going to buy a Welker jersey?
No. No. I don't like 83. It's not a good number.
So it's got nothing to do with buying jerseys.
Is that because of Terry Glenn?
What?
Is that because of Terry Glenn?
Glenn was 88.
Oh, that's right. Why did I think he was 83?
I think when he went to maybe Dallas, he was 83.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he was 83 somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Dallas right. That's very unlike me to miss out on stuff, you know, in the era when, you know, I cared.
You were very good on the big show when you were talking about Bledsoe. I forget.
Being
they
were
talking
the
about the Coats era and Bledsoe. And you brought up some facts that they should have known that they didn't. I forget what they were.
Oh, and they said that was all that Ben Coach was all that Drew had to throw to. We had to
Well,
throw it
that
to
was an obvious mistake by whoever it was.
Terry Glenn and Sean Jefferson.
Right.
who, by the way, also caught 100 balls each.
Right.
Kevin Turner.
Let's see. One Cormac writes in, I must say I couldn't stop laughing when Andy offered up his plowing expertise to my grandmother on yesterday's show. He truly is a generous, giving soul at this time of year. To clarify, my grandparents are from Foxborough, not from Ireland. My American mother met my English father in Dublin, and they settled there as it's the greatest city in the world. So no need to deport my elderly nurse home grandparents. Thanks.
That was Fred, by the way, Cormac, not us. Not even Andy.
So I figured out Eric and what he's been up to the last day. See, we knew he was on the West Coast, and we know what goes on over there. Same kind of thing that happens in Provincetown. And not calling in, not doing any work. And I see then it was no gay work day yesterday. Coincidence? I don't think so.
I agree.
Well, that is true.
He called in gay.
He says it'd be excellent
guy
if you
called
got...
in the wine line about Fred Smirnoff. Is Fred's not there today?
It'd be excellent if you guys did come over to Ireland. There is a boat, but it goes from Wales. You could stop by James's house on the way. So you'd need to get a train to a place called Holyhead. Behave, Andy. And a boat goes from there to a town just south of Dublin, the town where I live, coincidentally. Otherwise, a flight to London from London is probably the quickest. But, hey, I understand if you guys can't make it to Ireland, lots of us will be in London for the game anyhow. Finally, please again remind Dan to contact me to make arrangements as today is the last PFW show I'll hear before I arrive with the goodies for you on Wednesday as I'll be flying on Tuesday.
Have Did you contacted him?
No, I will. But we don't need lunch on Wednesday because we get pizza.
Yeah, but we
If
can.
He's coming bearing gifts and
First
lunch
all,
and whatever he wants to bring,
I
it's
rather.
Better than pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the
I'll
holidays,
still tell him to call me.
Special
bring
events.
Lunch,
yeah,
that's true.
I would rather have lunch from somebody, anybody who wants to buy it for us, than the pizza.
All right, I'll talk to him.
Wouldn't
but
you?
He doesn't have to.
No, but
just
if
tell
he,
him
saying,
to come get the
lunch,
tour.
You don't say, well, you're coming that day, you can't
the
buy lunch.
The most important thing is don't drop the ball and just not
No,
buy
I'll get in touch.
Like you generally
I don't think he necessarily needs to buy lunch. Though,
no,
so
he definitely doesn't. No one has to buy us lunch. They do that out of the goodness of their hearts.
Well, if they want to come here, they do.
Well, that's true.
No, he's bringing gifts.
You get the nickel tour. From
we accept gifts as well. I like gifts.
You know, we can get in a lot of trouble for that.
You're worse than the governor of Illinois. John in South Carolina. I listened to
your state.
I listened
he
to
was on. He was advising him, you know.
Who?
They're tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Goya. What's his name? Goya?
Blagojevich or something? He's like the punter we had.
Blagojevich. Yeah.
Blagojevich.
Yeah.
He's your boy. He's tight. Good to see you starting off on a strong footing 2 months before you get even.
John in South Carolina. Listen to your show.
While really handed it to him. He embroiled himself in a controversy before he even took office.
John in South Carolina says, I listen to your show while I'm at work. If you read Dilbert or have seen the movie Office Space, you can picture where I work. I live over 1,000 miles away from my family in the place I still consider home. Your show allows me to stay connected with the Pats and Pats fans and to some degree New England. Just the accents help me get through the day. Listening to your show at work helps me from going postal worker when some of the mission statement, non-optional, total quality leadership BS starts to flow.
I like it.
I'm glad we don't deal with all that crap.
Oh.
Although we've dealt with more of it over the last couple of years.
But can you imagine if I had to deal with that crap the way I am? Fred, how many rules does that violate for me?
Oh, boy, that wouldn't be good.
I'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
Corporate environment?
Chris from Stamford, formerly the Bronx, wanted to pay my respects to
WWE,
Matt.
Baby.
Yeah, is that still their headquarters?
Is that Stanford or Stamford?
Stamford.
With the M, right?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't.
Are they still there?
I thought
so. Yeah,
they had a big,
the building's right
glass
on the side
building,
of the.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right on the side of.
They
yeah.
just had to change the F to the E.
Yeah.
First, huge corporate headquarters. Sorry, Freddie.
Chris says, first off, wanted to pay my respects to Matt Castle's dad. Hope the family's doing well as well can be expected, and I hope that Matt Castle returns to work. Just. Because getting back into a routine can sometimes prove the best way to deal with a tough situation. In any case, I wish him well.
Jay had his best interest in mind.
I do think that one thing that you, Fred, you and Andy brought up and Chris is obviously bringing up now, it would be very interesting to see how Patriots fans would react if he didn't play and they lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, some of the SPFWs will be unprintable. Oh, there are people out there that are whack jobs that would be very angry.
That would be, I don't want to see that. I mean, they can't have. They can't lose this game. No. I don't think they can anyway, but they can't lose this game if he doesn't play.
No, but if O'Connell, I mean, there's a chance you lose if he plays.
There's a chance you lose any game, and we've seen that all year.
But with a rookie backup quarterback who's a gunslinger, you know, he's a college gunslinger who runs around and makes plays.
Can you imagine some of the emails that we're going to get? I mean, everybody is being very gracious right now. We want to wish Matt Castle the best and extend our sympathies, and it's not. But I'd be curious to see what the reaction would be if they get knocked out of the playoffs because he's dealing with his family. That won't be fun.
Chris goes on, changing topics. When or if Eric calls in, can you get a read on Vince Redd? I'd like to see him play because that puts three linebackers at the inside, Sayo, Mayo, and Guyton, and three on the outside, Vrabel, Colvin, and Redd. With Mayo and Vrabel probably taking all of the snaps, I think this game will be closer than you all do. I watch PFW TV. Would it kill one of you guys to wear a jacket or a tie? And I'd like to see some kind of linebacker rotation. You know, he's not the first person that says we should dress up more for that show.
I put the jacket on for the Comcast show, Freddie.
I know you do.
I mean, guys, I'll be doing it tonight. Fred Kirch,
should we wear jackets?
Here we go, boys.
No, because he's not the first person who said that. That we kind of look.
If you want me to, I will. I'll make sure I bring a jacket on Tuesday.
What do you think?
No.
No? Why?
I don't think
just
we should.
Too lazy.
It's not our style.
I don't think we should. It would be phony.
Well, he's all dressed up. Chris is.
That's his shtick. He's a TV anchor. He's always dressed up.
But some people think when you're on TV in a regular gig, you should kind of, you know, act respectful.
I think when you're as good as we are at our job, you dress the way you want to dress, the way you feel appropriate. Bill Belichick wears a cutoff hoodie on the sideline. I wear comfortable clothes.
I don't disagree with you, Fred, because I think you kind of take your cue from the show.
Yeah.
Chris kind of dresses a little
bit.
But
he's an anchor. All anchors do that.
Well, Mike Rattay wasn't always as sharp as Chris is.
And what did we have then?
We dressed
best show we ever had.
But we dressed a little bit more casual.
And we had the best show we ever had.
But I that's why I usually wear the jacket for the Comcast show, because those two guys
wear jackets
with no ties.
Right.
Well, plus everybody wears a jacket on that show.
You do.
I know.
Why do you do it for that show?
Because everybody wears a jacket on that show.
By the way, Fred,
there's one guy that's on the show that wears a suit and tie. How come you don't follow his lead?
He's an anchor. I'm saying all the guests on the Comcast show wear a jacket.
It's because the anchors do.
No, because all the guests do.
Paul?
I'm sorry.
You got to mediate this?
I wore a jacket the first time because that's what they do.
See, I wear a jacket because every guest wears a jacket. If most guests didn't, I wouldn't.
But the reason why the guests do, Andy, is because they're following the host's lead.
No, I think it's because they're expected to wear a jacket.
Oh, boy.
Well,
that's what I just said.
I did it because that's what the two hosts
wore. No, but I think the guests are expected to wear a jacket, regardless of the hosts.
I think that's right, too. I think if you showed up without one, they'd probably give you one of, like, Dickerson's spares off in the side. But when I do, I've done some stuff with Neckin, and you have too. I usually put a tie on when I do, like Mike Giardi on the weeknights, the weekends. Sometimes you go in there, and I usually dress better for that than I do on our own show.
Well, maybe we should do it.
No.
Oh, which Paul and I will do.
Which, by the way, Fred, 10 o'clock tonight, if you want to update my calendar on paulperillo.com.
Yeah.
I'll be on the Mohegan Sun, well, probably closer to 11 after the Celtics game. Getting screwed again, Andy.
That's great.
8 o'clock Celtics game.
So would he just hang out there and drink sodas until the game's over?
They don't have soda.
They don't have soda?
They do.
They do?
In that little room.
Where? In the green room? I usually just go in Felger's office and we make fun of
all the people
in the media.
There's a lunch room.
I didn't know there was
soda. Yeah, but you're drinking other people's soda.
No, I was pretty sure
office space, there's little stickies?
Right.
I was pretty sure it was just like ours with a machine.
Oh, I never noticed that.
They definitely have water.
Yeah, I usually go to the bubbler.
No, but they also have a Poland Spring water, I believe, next to the soda machine.
I don't think I've ever been in this kitchen that you speak of.
I went one night when I got there, and I couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, the one that said employees only.
Well, I'm sort of a employee at that time.
Yeah, Andy's bitter because his West Coast trips have cut into
F me. They F me, Fred.
Because we lose Fridays.
I'm Friday at 10, guy.
And we get stuck kind of losing out.
Why can't they do something remote?
Well, they don't have anybody else there.
Same reason Larry Izzo doesn't play linebacker to start. He's bottom of the depth chart. I'm bottom of the depth chart.
Ah! Somebody's at the door.
Hey, I'm Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
Two-gender continues to struggle in these.
It was a tough day today finding something good.
He just quickly printed this one out in relation to the last argument we had about jackets, which, I mean, there's other ones you'd think with the word jack in it, but jacket pocket. That's jacket pocket. And it's someone that pervs on young girls, usually in malls or school grounds.
I think that he's trying to clean them up a little
bit. Yeah, and they're terrible. Well, we clean it up. We might as well just get rid of it.
I don't necessarily disagree with his
philosophy. I got Fred yelling dildo across the air. We should be able to say other things.
That makes two out of three members of this show have used that word today.
But I was just saying what Fred said.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was sure. Quotes. You see me do air quotes?
Let's see. Chris says, lastly, I was thinking about the tight end situation and realized that since Ben Coates was good at everything, the Patriots' best tight ends who excelled at one thing, Wiggins, the possession receiver, Fourier, the red zone guy, Graham, the blocker, Watson doesn't seem to have that one thing he's really good at, while David Thomas getting replaced by Tyson DeVries speaks volumes. Do the Pats look for a receiving tight end next year?
I hope not. Every time they look for one, they don't find
him. I called it Bill's blind spot.
Yeah, I think if there's a guy that intrigues them, they can't help themselves.
Well, I'd like them to can't help themselves in the third or fourth round, not the first or second.
But, you know, I even pointed out they've tried everything. They've signed free agents, Fourier, Cam Cleland. They've gone first round with Graham and Watson. They've gone, what, third round with David Thomas, fourth round Garrett Mills,
Holloway,
Jabari Holloway,
the other guy.
Fifth round Love. Dave Stachelski, sixth round Arthur Love. They've gone top of the draft, bottom of the draft,
Andy
and everywhere in between. Andy Stokes in the seventh
blind
round.
Blind in one eye, poor kid.
They haven't hit on a single one. And
Steven Spock's starting for the Cardinals. They might have hit on him, except he doesn't play here anymore.
I don't know what the answer. I just think it's one of those things that it's his blind spot.
Uh-oh, Fred's shaking his head. That's not good.
Albert Breer posted something. Today's the 11th, right? So that today. Source, quote, report of Tom Brady's knee problems, ridiculous. So this is one of those anti-stories that they're confirming something that.
What's the report of Tom Brady's knee problem?
Well,
in other words, you're disputing a report that really isn't even out there.
Right, right.
Okay.
Either that or he's disputing TomBrady.com anyway, that said I had an infection
right.
that was dealt with.
So source, report of Tom Brady's problems, ridiculous, posted December 11, 2008, Albert Breer, Sporting News, an internet report Thursday, quoting unnamed sources, portended an end to the career of New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, the reigning NFL MVP, because of complications linked to infections that followed his October knee reconstruction. A source with intimate knowledge of Brady's condition told Sporting News on Thursday afternoon that nothing could be further from the truth. The source said Brady is right on track to recover in time for the 2009 season, adding his rehab is going perfectly. So
we need to see what is apparently a Pro Football Talk report.
It goes on to say Sporting News sources say the infection was successfully contained and Brady was able to start the rehabilitation process like any other athlete with such an injury. In October, Dr. James Gladstone, chief of medicine at Mount Sinai in New York, told Sporting News that, quote, if the treatment for the infection works like it's supposed to work, he's got every chance to do as well as anyone with his rehab. The report of a major career-threatening setback that surfaced Thursday morning quoted an unnamed orthopedic surgeon with knowledge of Brady's injury as saying, his career is dead, it's over, plain and simple.
But where,
I don't
but
know
does it cite where on the internet? Because internet reports to me, that's,
well,
that's
go
a
to
very
Pro
vague term.
Two-gender, go to Pro Football Talk and see if there's a Brady story.
It wasn't on Pro Football Talk.
Yeah,
it doesn't say where it was
from. I'm not surprised that it wasn't on Pro Football Talk. This sounds like something that someone made up.
Yeah, it's like a blog, like a
then why
forum
is
entry.
He
that's
responding
why don't we
to
ha-
it?
You know, that's the thing.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
by the way, he works for Sporting News because the Sporting News has learned that Albert Breer once played football. How many times does he have to say fucking, excuse me, Sporting
what?
News? In there?
Oh, for crying
sorry.
Out loud.
How many times does he have to say Sporting News in there? We understand who you work for.
Wait,
I told
you your fat mouth was going to get you in
I
trouble.
I didn't say anything.
You said the worst one of them all.
No, I said, I only said half the word.
Okay.
Of course, the first half is the worst half. Ing is okay.
I just think that the term internet reports, it's accurate, if no matter where it came from on the internet. But, you know, it could be like some chat room, a blog, or a message board.
The only one I would put credence in is Pro Football Talk.
Well, and then even then, where it came from. Because Pro Football Talk usually doesn't generate the reports.
Too generic. Can you do some research and find the internet
report?
That's a
very, very vague thing. And certainly,
I also,
run
the quote doesn't even sound real.
Us,
the quote sounds fake. Dead, over. Right. Like,
that's my point.
That's
it sounds
a
like
doctor would
is
say
today
that.
April 1st? Because that's ridiculous.
It sounds like Paul Perillo on the Northeastern Message Board after beating Harvard in double overtime, declaring the season's over.
Yeah,
dead,
good,
over.
That was a good squeaking win.
No,
huh?
No, actually, just the opposite. As they said, you know, I made the point that, you know, Gene Hackman and Hoosiers, you know, we play like that, and we play together as a team. And I don't. We look up at the end of four quarters, and I don't care what the scoreboard says. We're winners. Yeah. It was the opposite. I don't care what the scoreboard said. We were losers last night. Season's over.
Yeah, that's a made up one. Someone's starting to cause trouble.
But why would you take the time to respond to it?
That's the point. Why do you respond to those?
Well,
things?
That's exactly what I'm wondering.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you can go to any day, any chat room, and find something to respond to.
Right.
Like I could go on Pats fans. Well, probably not a good example because there's very little in the way of negative stuff there. But I could say, Bill, there's an internet report that's saying, you don't have a running back that can go for 3 yards. And Bill says, that's so ridiculous. And I put a big story up, disputing internet reports. Right. Belichick says their running game is, but whatever.
Right.
That's dumb.
PJ in Philly says, guys, I was just listening to the podcast from last week. I'm a little behind. Andy's a big behind. Anyway, Paul was saying that the Patriots record is right where everyone thought it would be. I was running on the treadmill when he said this, and I almost fell off. I seem to remember Fred asking everyone what the Pats record would be when Brady went down, and everyone said somewhere between 10-6 and 12-4. Can you guess who the 12-4 prediction came from?
Fred.
Paul wouldn't answer the question. He kept saying, I am pleading the fifth. When the 6-10 came up, Paul said in his best, I know better than anyone else voice, this is more like what the Patriots are going to be like this year.
That's completely incorrect.
Now, Paul, it is fine for you to have an opinion of 6-10, but don't come back and claim that the Pats are right where you thought they would be.
First of all, I said it's right where everybody thought they would be, not where I thought they would be, number one. Number two, I never thought they would be 6-10. That's a flat-out lie.
Two-gender, get the audio and play the clip.
I thought they would go 8-8, and I did not answer the question that day, so you go right ahead and get
two-gender. Get it.
That's like,
why do you just shrug your shoulders? That's your job, is to create controversy on the show and entertaining radio.
I'll tell you right now, because Fred will tell you, I didn't answer the question that day.
He didn't answer.
No, but he said that, and then you, what was it, in the tone that he knows best.
Right.
I didn't say what
this
I thought they were going to go.
This is more like what the Patriots are going to be like this year, well, when 6-10 came.
You not care
I
about good radio?
He said, that's like Andy Layoff saying season, now that Kevin Faulk is great for the Patriots offense. Plus, oh, wait, that is what he says.
But I admitted my error.
Oh, see, we got you both now.
Wait a minute. No, I want to stop.
Because we have opinions
this.
Other than 14-2,
no,
like Fred.
I was wrong.
I said 12-4.
I was wrong because I didn't think like everybody else. But what I said the
what
other day.
Am I supposed to find?
Forget it for a second.
Paul being a liar.
I'm already admitting that I was wrong, Andy.
There's so many instances of that.
If they win one more game, I'm wrong.
At some point when Fred made us go on the record on what our predictions were going to be or something.
And I did.
After Brady got hurt?
Yeah. Paul
and I wouldn't go,
probably
on the record.
The Tuesday
You know how you do that? You use every zing. You know how to do that?
Can you just hold on for a second?
What? All right.
Last week when we were talking about this and everybody was talking about how surprised they were.
Oh, we got to do picks.
Why do you do that? This is actually relevant.
I forgot all about the picks.
This is actually relevant. There's only three of us. We can use less time.
No, it's 1:33. We're never going to get it in today. We usually start at 1:30.
I get it right down. I perfectly time it.
When I said last week, we were about what everybody thought. You said 12-4, right? You said 10-6, well, between 10-6 and 12-4.
No, with that's Castle, right, I said 11-5.
Right, but that. But when I say that's about where everybody thought they were going to be, why is everybody then so surprised that that's where they're going to finish?
I'm not.
Okay. That was the only point that I made.
Four.
I was wrong. They're not where I thought they were going to be. They're a little bit ahead of where I thought they were going to be. But everybody else thought they were going to win more games than I did. And that includes a lot of the experts on ESPN, who all were way more optimistic about their chances without Brady than I was. So,
well, some of them were like, this will now prove what kind of a coach Belichick really is. Oh, boy.
That's right.
He rolls his eye.
Like we still needed to be proved that, you know, he's a great coach.
Oh, well, boy. I don't necessarily think that's what they were saying.
I think that's exactly what they were saying.
Who's they?
Okay. You know, anybody can win with Tom Brady.
Who said that?
There were at least two in ESPN that said that.
So, like, Tom Jackson and Chris Carter.
Wait a minute. Two said that anybody could win with Tom Brady?
No. This, now we can see what kind of coach.
Oh, I think that there's some truth to that.
So if they went 8-8 or 6-10, Belichick's not a good coach anymore?
No, but I don't think he's as great a genius as you maybe once thought he was.
So you're saying that this is all Belichick, the fact that they're 8-5?
No, I look, you know what I think of Belichick as a coach. I think he's the best in the league.
Right.
I mean, how many times do we have to say it?
And you wouldn't think that he wasn't if he was 6-10.
But I wouldn't think he was quite as good as I thought he was.
Oh, see, now that's not right.
Well, why?
Because it's, you know, it was a tough season, a lot of injuries.
So we ignore the seasons that are bad, like Mike Reese wrote 2 days ago.
What, in Cleveland?
Yeah. He said that you can ignore the 5-11 because they moved, and you can ignore the 5-11 here when they took over because it was tight salary cap restraints.
True.
Okay.
Shockman Davis.
Well, I'm going to ignore the 14-2 then because the rest of the league was down that year.
You throw out the worst and you throw out the best, and he's still great.
Not if you throw out the two best and the two worst.
He's still
great.
He's
average.
Come on. Eye test. Once again, eye test.
Well, again.
Belichick and Welker we can now put together.
Exactly. Exactly.
Again, I'll repeat.
He's
the best
coach in the league.
He's the best coach in football, and I've said that for a long time. The 2001, he'll never, ever top what he did in 2001 in my mind. Never.
And he had some help.
This team is far better. This team
Charlie right now is far better
than 2001.
Talent-wise, absolutely. Well, I don't know about defense anymore.
It's still better.
Yeah.
Still better. That was a terrible football team.
You still have Moss and Welker to throw to. You didn't have anybody but Drew Brown.
You still have Richard Seymour and Mike Vrabel and
Will Fork.
I'll take Junior Seau off the street. I mean, that team was not a very good football team.
Yeah, they were throwing to guys like J.R. Redmond.
That's why it's such a great story, and I still say John from L.A., it should be a movie.
So he doesn't have to do anything to tell me that he's a great coach.
And by the way, that phrase can also be said with tone in a lot of different directions.
And those guys from
now
ESPN
we're
going to
see how good a coach Belichick is means you think he's great and he's going to show you why he's great.
He's going to show you that.
Or, now we'll see how great that coach Belichick is.
It was obviously so that at the end of the year they could say, well, you know, we said it early. This would be a good test, and he didn't pass the test. That's why they were saying it.
Well, I do think there's a degree of that. If you're the greatest coach genius ever and you miss the playoffs, you say, well,
yeah, but
maybe he should have got
him
in.
But then,
because they lost to Indy and he made some mistakes.
I know, but then there are critics who always say, it's not the coach, it's the horses. No matter how good a coach you are, you don't have the horses.
Is on record many times.
Belichick says it all the time, but I think he's just being gracious.
I'm not saying Belichick's. I'm talking about critics of Belichick.
He's won with and without the horses.
I understand.
That's a weak argument.
But there are other people who say it's always the players. And I think that you got to have the players. But
I think
coaching
the players.
I think there's fewer of those in the NFL.
In the sport of football.
Because all I hear is Wade Phillips is going to run this team into the ground. North Turner is going to run that team into the ground.
In the sport of football, coaching matters more than any other sport.
Right.
There's just no doubt about it.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think that the players have been somewhat underrated here over the years. But it is. It's not just about the players.
All right,
let's get to the coaching.
We're not going to take a break.
But it is about the picks, and we don't have time to take a break.
Why?
We don't have time.
Paul's not ready.
It's 20 of. You're not ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so it's time to do the picks. Paul, why don't you fill us in with what happened
last
week?
Big week for me last week, Freddie. 13-3.
Wow.
The rest of you guys went 12-4.
Oh, so it was a layup week, not a big week for him.
This is going to be a tough week.
With the spread, I went 11-5.
Wow, Paul's coming up.
Andy went 9-7. Eric and
500,
Fred,
that's me, and I'm knocking.
Eric and Fred went 8-8.
Wow.
So I picked up three games on Freddie.
Oh.
I picked up, more importantly, 500.
I'm still well behind. But overall standings, Fred 140, 67-1. I didn't add these up, so I hope they're right. Andy 138, 69-1. Paul 133, 74-1. Eric 130, 77-1. With the spread, Fred 118, 85-5. Paul now four games back.
Wow.
114, 89-5. Eric 103, 105. Andy 100, 103-5.
Ooh, three games in 3 weeks. That's what my challenge is here.
All right. That's good. Okay.
9-7s will get it done.
Let's start it out with
7-9.
I was looking at the matchups earlier.
That's why he's doing so well.
No, I just show up
today.
And
I was looking. This is a tough week.
Over breakfast with Jonathan.
I think this is a tough week. Anyway, let's start off.
So
with
busy. He was
tonight,
going over the picks.
Tonight's game.
Tonight, Junior.
New Orleans at Chicago. New Orleans at Chicago.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bears by three.
Bears by three.
I'll take the Bears to win and cover. I'll go with the New Orleans is a pansy team on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to take Chicago, too. That New Orleans win one, lose one, win one, lose one. That continues, and I'll take the Bears at home.
Did Eric send
No, I'll get him from home.
All right. I'm going to take Chicago as well. All right. Tampa Bay.
Why
at,
good luck with that?
Because it'll come to you in a green font in italics, and it'll change from New England to Patriots halfway down.
I have to write them down anyway.
He's the most annoying guy to get anything from an email. You cannot cut and paste it out because of
I don't
all
need
his
to cut
tendencies.
And paste it.
What, he has email tendencies?
Yes.
He does.
He uses the tilde thing, the little squiggly instead
it's
of a
an
hyphen.
Italic, it's almost like it's an italic green font yeah. that he uses.
Those are female tendencies.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's what we're going with.
Okay. Female email. Tampa Bay at Atlanta, Sunday at 1. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Big
Falcons,
game. Big
Falcons
game.
By 3.
Falcons by 3. They're coming off another big one against Carolina last week.
Who is?
Good what? Defense,
Carolina
Tampa Bay. They had a big game back-to-back weeks
Oh,
here.
Big game. Yeah,
that's a big win. It's for the division, right, again? Because these are all the teams that are at the top of the standings consecutive weeks here. I am going to go with Tampa Bay for the upset. That defense gets to and makes life tough on Matt Ryan and stops the running game, which is the key to that offense.
Yeah, I go with Atlanta because I go with the NFC South theory that the home team wins.
I'm going to go with Atlanta as well. I think
if they win, did you see the thing? Six straight years back to 2002 that the last place finisher from the year before wins the division the following year.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Now, that's what I call parody. All right.
Some might say parody.
Sunday at 1.
I once did on the web.
Washington at Cincinnati. Washington at Cincinnati.
Skins by 7.
I'll take Washington. Win and cover. They're going to all regroup after their little feud here between geniuses and punks and all that. So.
Yeah, I'll take Washington to win the game, but I'll take Cincy to cover. I don't like what's going on with the Redskins, and I think that'd be a sinking ship.
Well, this is the week for Cincinnati. They're going to win the game.
Aren't they like 1-7-1 or whatever?
1-10-1.
They're going to win.
Maybe even 1-11. They played 13 games.
Washington, you know, I had high hopes from the beginning of the season, but
they're falling apart.
They are falling
they
apart.
They stunk on opening night.
They are falling apart.
Aside from that little month of good.
They were great for the next 6 or 8 weeks, and then they've stunk since.
They are who we thought they were.
Right.
Tennessee at Houston. Tennessee at Houston.
Tennessee by 3.
Tennessee at Houston. They will win and cover. I'll take the better overall football team.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. This is
it
one of those
is.
Ones I think that Fred was talking about because Tennessee pretty much doesn't have anything to play for.
Yep.
But I'm going to take Tennessee anyway. I'm going to go with the Andy Hart better team theory.
It's a tough one. I'm tempted to take Houston, and I think I will. What the hell? I'm going to take Houston.
He decides mid-sentence.
Green Bay at Jacksonville. Green Bay at Jacksonville.
Green Bay by 2.5.
Two really disappointing football teams.
Yes.
The offense for Jacksonville, the defense for Green Bay. I'll go with Green Bay, even though it worries me a little.
Yeah, it should. That's what I mean. These are tough games.
Yeah, I take Green Bay, too. I think Jacksonville has packed it in. Green Bay's troubles have been on defense. I don't think Jacksonville can score. So I'll take the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well. All right, San Francisco at Miami, a game that we'll all have our eyes on. San Francisco at Miami.
Miami by 6.5.
Can San Francisco do it twice in a week for the Patriots?
Tony Sperano's a good coach. It's a good organization. They're not going to have the type of crappy letdown the Jets did and screw things up. They win at home.
Yeah,
I like Miami to win the game, too, but I'm going to take the points. 6.5 points, I'll take them. I'll say Miami wins by 4.
I say Miami wins and covers. All right, Seattle at St. Louis. Seattle at St. Louis.
Two-gender, where are you?
He's out eating.
All right, skip that game. Go to another one.
Buffalo
petite
at
little
the Jets.
Legs just ran in.
Buffalo at the Jets.
Buffalo at the Jets. Jets by 7. I need a spread on Seattle at St. Louis, Minnesota at Arizona, and then the Patriots game.
Jets continue to make things interesting by turning it around and getting the victory they desperately need, one they could have used last week. Winning
is Trent Edwards playing?
He could. I don't know if he is.
I don't know. You have the website open in front of you.
This is the NFL.
It's useless.
All right. Seattle's favored by 3.
Okay.
Sure,
Minnesota.
That website will only get better as they lay off 150.
Minnesota at Arizona.
Arizona's favored by 3.
And the Patriots?
7.
Oh, the castle factor, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we're still on Buffalo at the Jets.
I took the Jets to win and cover, bounce back.
I think that the Jets are going to lay a whooping on Buffalo.
Really?
And if they don't, they lose. But I'm going to take the Jets.
Well, I'm going to take Buffalo because I really think that the way the Patriots are going to get into the playoffs is by winning the AFC East. So I got.
Well, I will say this: that's the way that we all need to hope, because then we get to stay home and we don't have to travel and all that crap. Right. So that'd be nice. So it's all about us.
It's all about.
So Paul Perillo.
I'm tired.
I am Tim Russert this weekend.
Dead?
I don't know what that means.
Didn't he die?
Big Buffalo. Yeah, he's
from
dead.
A heart attack.
Yeah.
He's dead. You know,
he's dead
for belly fat.
But he was a huge Buffalo Bill fan. So
I would be
okay. Back to that Seattle at St. Louis game. Seattle is favored by 3.
Seattle favored by 3. I'm not falling for it. They gave it their all against the Patriots. I'll take this Rams at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Rams aren't that good.
I know, but I'm not going to be swayed by the effort I saw from a 2-10 football team that the week before I couldn't come up with must stops.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle just because I can't possibly find a reason to take St. Louis.
Yeah, same way. I got to go with Seattle.
And he's picking up games, baby. Can still win.
San Diego at Kansas City. A lot of these AFC West games down the road here.
San Diego by 5.
Take San Diego to win and cover. I know the Chiefs have been fighting and Thigpen's been playing well. I have this thing. I'm against taking the Chiefs.
You play to win the game.
San Diego's an embarrassment, but they'll still win this game more than likely. So I'll take the Chargers.
Yeah, I guess I'll take the Chargers.
Did you see the reports this week, earlier this week? You know, I feel like, Andy, I did my homework this week. They talked about they feel like they maybe came into the season a little bit overconfident.
Every year.
How can you go into a season overconfident? I can understand going into a game overconfident.
Right.
Not that that's excusable, but I can understand one game. How can you start a – you haven't played a game yet.
Well, Wade Phillips did say measure your ring finger or whatever.
And look what happened to them. Who are you taking, Freddie?
I'm going to take the Chargers.
He's like Tim Russert.
Okay.
Dead.
Still Sunday at 1, the last one. Detroit at Indianapolis.
Indy by 17.
Ooh.
Freddie, as you would say, this is the week.
Really?
That I picked the Colts. But I will take the points. Nah, yeah, I'll take the points. I don't like giving 17 points.
Yeah, I'll take Indy, but I'll take the points as well.
I'm going to do the same.
Is my boy going to play, Stanton?
Culpepper is questionable,
banged up, right?
Yeah.
But that stupid Henson's in the way.
That stupid Henson?
I want to see Drew Stanton play. I like him, but he's been a little banged up.
I like him.
All right, Sunday
in a gay way, of course.
That's how you said it.
We move to the 4 o'clock games.
Better hurry up.
Minnesota at Arizona. Minnesota at Arizona.
As Dose Genders just said, Arizona is favored by 3.
Arizona will win and cover, but this game became a little bit more dangerous when my boy Tavares Jackson under center.
I'll take the Cardinals to win, even though this is a prime spot for them to have a huge letdown. They just clinched that division last week. But
plus looking ahead to the Patriots.
Well, I think that they're looking ahead to that trap of heading into the playoffs and kind of pulling back on the throttle, but I think they need to win some games out of the West.
Yeah.
They haven't fared too well outside of their very bad division, so I think they need this game, so I'll take Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona, too. Sunday, 4:15, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Another big game for the Patriots.
A good banger.
Ravens by 2.
Good physical game. I wouldn't mind watching this game.
Yeah, we won't be able to because we'll be playing at the same time.
Is that really your ring?
Yeah.
What a bad
I'll take the Steelers because they're my team. I think this is a good battle. I think it could go either way. I just, as you guys know, coming into the season, I thought the Steelers were going to be a very good team. I think they are a very good team. And I still have my doubts, even though it's week 15, about everything that is Baltimore, including the rookie quarterback, the rookie coach, and this is a tough spot.
I like Baltimore in this game. I am very impressed with Pittsburgh and their resolve. I didn't think they would win this many games. I thought their schedule would be too tough, so I have been pleasantly surprised by their play, but I think this is a great matchup for Baltimore. This is the kinds of teams that they play good defense against, the teams that don't really do a lot offensively, and I think they shut down Pittsburgh in this game, and they find a way to win it.
It's not going to be a game for the
squeamish. They should have probably won in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not going to be a game for the squeamish. I pick Baltimore to win. Like I said, the Patriots are going to get in because they're going to win the AFC East, not because they're going to overtake Baltimore.
Just thinking,
so, you know, if they win, if the Patriots win the AFC East, they probably will end up with a 3 seed because they're going to have the tiebreaker over Denver. And Denver, I don't think, can be any better than 11-5, right? They already have five losses,
right,
correct?
Right. That's
so,
exactly right.
So that means that the Patriots would be 11-5. They'll be the three, and they'll play the six, and that'll probably be Baltimore. I don't think you want any part of that one.
I don't know.
That was part of the stuff I was talking about this morning.
I don't know.
I just want to get in there. All right.
No, so, obviously we want to get. I'm just playing. I know. Just playing.
So I'm going to take Baltimore. Okay, Denver at Carolina.
Carolina by 7.5.
Carolina.
Tough have there.
Carolina, win in cover. Good, solid football team. I can't be behind the consideration for John Fox for Coach of the Year because I've been supporting those Carolina Panthers for like 10 years in a row when they underperformed. So the one year where they actually put it all together, I can't give them all the credit. They're making plays on the ground, through the air. I think they have a lot of good players, and they're finally playing to it.
I like Carolina, too.
I'll take Carolina, but I'll take Denver to cover.
Because you're a Denver fan.
No.
He's off the Broncos, but you get that extra half point.
Yeah.
That's big. I thought about it.
We'll skip over the New England game and go to Sunday night, which is another big game, Giants at Dallas.
We'll be able to watch this on the way home.
Giants at, we hope.
Unless it's like
the
last
satellites
week.
Just don't work that well.
Let me ask you something. With the commercial flight, we're not going to get any TVs, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, hell no.
The Celtics are on Friday night again.
I'll be stunned if we have a TV.
On ESPN.
You're going to be staring at the back of the seat in front of you.
Yeah, Giants at Dallas.
And the fat lady to your right, or Paul. Which
Giants at Dallas.
You're mean sometimes for no reason.
Okay, go.
Cowboys by three.
Cowboys by three. I'm not going to buy it. I'll take the Giants. I don't like the Cowboys. They have a lot of talent, but they're not a good team. And I can't get behind them. I can't get behind them to win big games against other good teams. And I think the Giants maybe want to bounce back here.
Yeah, I think the Giants game last week is going to propel them. I agree with Andy.
Did you hear what T.O. said about Emmitt Smith and Keyshawn Johnson?
No.
He said they should get their own show, Dumb and Dumber. Seriously, that's what he said.
He's an idiot.
He doesn't like what they're saying about the team. Emmitt Smith said that they're a collection of individuals. They're not a good team.
Emmitt Smed is exactly how Emmitt Smith would say Emmitt Smith.
he got blowed up.
So that's it's good stuff going on in Dallas. But no. I'm going to take the Giants.
Speaking of needing to be blowed up, are they going to end up like the Raiders? In that we're going to say, until Jerry Jones moves on, that it's
maybe
just too much of this and too
maybe
much meddling and too much.
Yeah. He's another one. GM, you know, I know he's the owner too, but he's also the de facto GM, comes out and,
well, he's the GM.
And talks about his own running back, saying he probably could have played.
How about the thing that they did with the PR staff, put out the clips,
yeah,
and they included those in there, and then the guy who's in charge, that Rich Dalrymple, he came in and realized it, and he pulled them all back.
So even down to, like, the PR doing dumb stuff like they did in Oakland, yes, it's the same thing.
But you know, Jones shouldn't be. If he believes that about Marion Barber, you handle it behind
closed doors.
It's a
ridiculous
thing
to say.
You don't come out and say that.
Can you imagine Mr. Kraft saying something like that?
No.
We come out with statements that we fully support Tom Brady's decisions.
Even though his career is dead.
Dead.
Right,
done.
Dead, done.
Did you find anything from that, too, Gender? Anything at all? Do you know how to use the internet and Google? Should I ask strippers?
Cleveland at Philadelphia, Monday night.
He doesn't even do that. He's just sleeping.
Philadelphia by 14.
Who are they?
Wow.
Cleveland.
Philly. Interesting. I will take Philly to win, and I will take them to cover. They get a lot of big plays. It's over. Sorry, Rack. Maybe we'll see you next year.
Yeah. With Ken Dorsey at quarterback, I can't take the points. I'll take Philadelphia both ways.
Ground will have a lot of receptions. Right into it.
Grass.
I'll say that Cleveland's defense makes a last stand. Philly wins, but does not cover.
Cleveland's defense is terrible.
Yeah, but he can play inspired ball.
Yeah, so could Clint.
Like the
Ken
Patriots
Dorsey
did in the second half.
You're saying the Patriots' defense is absolutely terrible?
I'm saying it's not good.
Are you comparing the Cleveland defense to the Patriots' defense?
Can we move on? Patriots
no.
by seven.
No. Patriots by seven. Are we in a hurry, Paul?
We actually have like 8 minutes.
Go.
I timed this just right, so we'd have time to talk about this.
Right.
I will take the Patriots to win and cover. Obviously, the question mark here is Kevin O'Connell, but I give them a pretty good chance with Kevin O'Connell because they're the better football team. I would be not excited, but intrigued to see Kevin O'Connell play. I'd be excited to see Matt Cassel play and win the game and extend the season potentially, but it would be intriguing if he plays. But I think the Raiders stink. I think they're done. I know you have the fear of every once in a while they put a fight in there. This is not the fight day. They pack it up, pack it in, and go home.
I do have a little bit of that fear, but the bigger fear would be with all the guys that you're playing on defense that haven't really been frontline players. You know, you could be having as many as four, five, six guys, you know, from Guyton to Will Height and all of those guys. A lot of those guys play key roles on special teams, and the one area that I think that the Raiders are pretty good in is special teams. So
true that.
That's my one fear, is that Johnny Lee Higgins takes a punt back if the Patriots are forced to punt. Justin Miller maybe takes a kick back, you know, something like that. My guess is that Bill won't even kick to Johnny Lee Higgins. He'll probably kick away from him, but I don't have much fear in this game.
Seven.
I don't see the Patriots having
Patriots
much trouble.
Cover that.
Even without Castle, I don't see them having much trouble. I think they could run the ball 45 times and win the game just as easily if they had to.
I concur.
Yeah, Patriots cover that. So that's the picks for this week.
I got to get back in there and change Fred's pick. All right.
What's that? You didn't think I'd take the point? I thought I'd take the
points. No, I was quite certain that you would take the Patriots.
Would you be unaffected if they announced today Matt Castle was not going to play?
I would still take the Patriots to cover. I would.
Yeah, because I think, like, it's like that other game Paul was said. If they don't give them a whooping, they're probably going to lose the Jets game. You know, if the Jets don't roll all over Buffalo, they could lose that game. I think the same thing. If it's a tight game, this could be one that the Patriots lose. I don't think it's going to be tight, though. I think they're going to roll all over them. So.
Even with Kevin O'Connell, you think they would roll all over him?
Yes. I think they'd have to.
Well, that's where he confused me, because I think the gap closes a little with O'Connell.
I think if it was close with O'Connell, they'd lose. I think they'd have to roll all over him, and I think they would.
Yeah, like I said, I think if they had to go with O'Connell and they decided, you know, at some point, like today, you know what, I don't think he's ready to throw the ball 25 times here. I think they could still win the game.
They'd win the game 21-10.
I think they could still win comfortably just running the ball and having him throw.
I'm not going to be stunned. There are reasons. I know we say the Raiders stink and they give up, but especially if O'Connell plays and they say, okay, we're going to run the ball. Well, when you do that, you're not going to put every drive together. So you're punting. Yeah. Now you're punting to Johnny Lee Higgins, and there's a chance. And, you know, all the changes on defense, one miscommunication is a Darren McFadden 70-yard touchdown run. And now all of a sudden a game that should have been 28-7 is in a 21-14. You're in a dogfight.
I agree. Right. It could happen.
If Castle plays, then I think we're pretty much back to, I'd be stunned if they were in the game in the fourth quarter for the Raiders.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Big game in Oakland. We'll be out there, and we'll see you next Tuesday.